room 20 feet alone?
Yeah, well, you're always alone anyway. That's the test of a surfer to ride alone. You shouldn't have to depend on anybody but yourself.
You ever gonna ride this board again?
I don't know. Take a big day.
Yours, mine, theirs.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Yours, Mine, and Theirs. This is Roy from Virginia, and I expect it's going to be quite a piece of dialogue when intellectual masterminds John and Katie get together. I should be writing this down.
Hey, everybody, I'm John, and I finally figured out why Katie likes me, because I'm the only person she knows who doesn't know how to surf.
I'm Katie. I'm not wearing a padded bra. This is all me, but maybe you should try a padded bra.
Thank you so much. How does it feel, Katie? You're the only listener, so how does it feel to actually start doing this?
Kind of fun.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, it's fun so far, anyway.
I'm a little worried because when I do these podcasts, I don't listen to them because I feel like, why would I listen to it twice? But since you're the only listener, apparently, does that mean when this podcast publishes, no one will listen to it?
Right. Katie, are you going to listen to this after it's done?
Yeah, I'll probably listen to it again.
Yeah. I listen to them. That's why I volunteered to edit all these, because I actually do enjoy hearing myself, even though it's mostly dumb. Sometimes I like what I say.
So do you listen to it three times then? Like the original editing, and then you listen to it again?
Sometimes I do. I've done that before, like for our Christmas ones and stuff. I always like, hey, what did we do last year? And then I have to listen to it to remember. You seem to remember, or maybe I just tell you after I listen to it again.
Well, we have some pretty serious spreadsheets, so I mean, they're right there. They're there.
Yeah.
But anyway,
when are we going to make those spreadsheets public for everybody?
I listen to these occasionally with my kids to prove to them that they could like click on something online and listen to me talking. But anyway, Katie, I don't think you're the only person that listens to this, because we have it under good authority. This is the fourth most popular movie podcast on the internet. So there you go. Anyway, if you're listening to this for the first time, welcome. You're going to have so much fun. You guys pick a weird, narrow subgenre, and then we watch a few movies. And usually you guys get to pick one of those too, but this is one of our special guest episodes where we bring on a guest, and Katie's our guest, and we said, Katie, pick three movies, and she did. And so, Katie, what are the movies we're watching?
This was hard for me, because I listen to it, and I like the episodes best where you have the guest that picks three. So I finally narrowed it down, and it seems like I picked like a genre, but really these were three independent movies I watched growing up that affected me. So I chose Big Wednesday, Back to the Beach, and North Shore.
Now, are you sure you just don't like surfing movies? Like, that's your thing?
I do like surfing movies, but I think it's just because I like these three surfing movies. I've watched other surf movies, and I don't like them as much.
Like, you hate Point Break, for example.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Point Break.
What's the Soul Surfer? Do you like Soul Surfer?
I haven't seen it.
It mixes the Shark Attack genre with the surf genre, yeah.
Yeah.
You really didn't want to watch Jaws, so I imagine you don't like Soul Surfer.
No.
Oh, is that true? Is that a true thing? Okay. Well, we'll see. Okay. So, all right. What's the big one? Is it like the liquid step into liquid, or liquid experience, or something liquidy? There's a surfer movie out there about fluids, apparently.
Step into liquid sounds like the familiar title, but I mean, come on. You haven't seen that, though.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any surfing movies except for Back to the Beach.
Never seen it before. So, Katie, thank you. I felt inspired to watch Endless Summer, which was fascinating. And I would say about two thirds of the way through, it got to the point where it was like, well, they're going to go to another beach and do some surfing. But the first third was pretty exciting, because there was lots of low key racism as the commentator talked about their experiences in Africa. So that was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I went to surf competitions when I was young, like the Coldwater Classic would come through. where I lived, and we'd go out and watch. So I like surfing. Maybe. I don't know. I don't so surf.
Why do you say maybe on that?
Well, I'm not a surfer. My brothers surfed, and I had friends who were surfers, but I never surfed myself.
Katie and I watched these movies together, and I think I have a really, really good theory on why Katie's never surfed. Because her three favorite movies, it's most of the surfing scenes are people wiping out on the reef.
That is a theme, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably right.
Yeah.
So, now, but Katie, you grew up in Southern California, right?
I grew up in the Bay Area. So,
okay.
People surfed in, like, Santa Cruz. So
yeah,
surf,
I was gonna say Santa
Cruz. Yeah, yeah. Surf competitions would come through, and we would go. And my brothers surfed with their friends, and I would go watch them surf. And then we would go to surf competitions. We'd go see the Coldwater Classic. So,
oh, wow.
I goes into surfing, but I just never surfed myself because I'm afraid of waves. And it's probably due to these movies.
That's a small impediment. It's just a minor thing that would hold you back from surfing. So I think
I don't want to ride waves.
My father-in-law is from Southern California, grew up there, and he still lives there, and he surfs occasionally, but he loves surfing movies. And so I think we watched a movie called Chasing Mavericks. I don't know if you've seen that, but
Maverick is up. The beach Maverick is up by where I live.
Yeah, because I think the movie takes place in Santa Cruz, because I think he like learns to paddle by paddling from Santa Cruz to Monterey, which is like a 50. I mean, that's a heck of a paddle. That's a lot of miles. But
yeah.
Anyway, that water.
Yeah, there's
super
a famous
cold.
Surfing beach called Mavericks, just outside Santa Cruz.
Okay. Well, cool. So, yeah, so you like swimming in the ocean, but the waves are just right out. They're just out.
You're right out. And then I studied marine biology a lot in Monterey. I lived in Monterey doing that. So I like the ocean, cool. Just not being in the waves.
I feel, one of these days we're going to have to try it. Because, I mean, you told me a story about, like, you know, when you went into the ocean and, like, the waves hit you a bunch of times, if I remember right. And you, like... You got bowled over by the waves a bunch of times, and then isn't that right? Didn't you tell me something about that?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stories like that.
But I mean, if we could somehow combine these things, because I feel like, because you don't have the fear of surfing, you have the fear of waves, but surfing is like, it's like that Zen thing, man, right? The yin and yang of it, where it's like you control this thing that would normally crash into you and hurt you.
Nah.
So would you ever do like a surf rider thing, like the beach or Provo Beach or whatever?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. So I
also knew a couple people growing up who like were paraplegics because they broke their necks in the waves. So I'm also I'm not going to do that.
Mm. Yeah, that's
so that not in any of these movies, but watching Endless Summer, they got to Tunnels Beach. Or the Banzai Pipeline on the North Shore, where the it breaks, like the waves break almost right on the shore, and some of the footage from Endless Summer looked so painful. But yeah, that's kind of scary. So I will say, while watching these movies, all I could think was, why didn't I learn to surf? Look how much fun surfing is and cool. And I think a problem is that I didn't grow up near a beach, so that was kind of a problem.
But you did surfing.
You just need a wave pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, apparently you can become a state champion and all you need is a wave pool, right? Yeah. John, I think our surfing was skis and snowboards, although I've never snowboarded. But I kind of feel like it's the same sort of sport. It's kind of the sport where you're just out enjoying yourself and you get into that kind of zen state, right, and just having a good time with nature or whatever. But I could be wrong.
But you did surf in Hawaii when you lived there.
I got up on a board once. Like, I stood up once. There was one standing up on a board.
See,
and it was
counts.
Pretty cool for about 10 seconds. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you were pretty much just like Rick in North Shore when he caught the wave and then everybody made fun of him afterward, right? that's kind of how I was, you know. Like, I've caught, like, two or three waves in my life. And I felt super exhilarated, but I certainly wasn't in like danger.
No, me, you, and Pete, we took a board out to, was it Huntington Beach? What beach did we go to?
Was it Dana Point?
Let's pretend it was Dana Point. Right. And I don't know if any of us caught any waves at all, but we probably got – so here's the thing about surfing, and eventually we're going to talk about movies. But so whatever I did when I tried to learn how to surf, I did it really wrong because I got exhausted. Like my shoulders and everything just – like paddling out there was so exhausting. And then I would spend like 20 minutes trying to catch a wave and just completely – depleting my energy, and then I wouldn't catch a wave, and then I'd have to paddle again. And I would watch the Hawaiians who would just sit there and catch a wave like effortlessly, like there was nothing to it. And so
I mean, that's a great reason to do it, because I remember that, because I'm just like, you know, I'm on the board and I'm just paddling as hard as I can. I'm just and then I see I'd like move 2 inches just because I can't do it. Like I don't have that kind of arm strength. But I mean, yeah. I mean, look at all these guys in all these movies. Don't they all have bodies to just die for? That's just from getting out to the wave.
And that may be it, right?
Yeah.
It's possible that surfing is as hard as I think it is, but that I'm not in shape and everyone else who surfs is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
I guess you don't see a ton of fat surfers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a fat surfer like from these movies. I think Frankie Avalon is the fattest.
He's probably the baddest surfer.
Yeah.
So we'll get there and we talk back to the beach. But they did four famous beach party movies, and but this one is critically ranked higher than all of them. They're the Back to the Beach. But we'll get
nice
there.
Nice work. Nice autumnal.
Do you guys remember the first time you saw the ocean?
Yes.
And I must have been pretty young. So my dad, we always did a summer vacation, and we must have gone out to done a Disneyland vacation and gone out and seen, I think, I want to say Newport Beach in Southern California was probably my first beach.
I was 9 years old.
I think it's fun hearing about people who didn't see the ocean until they were like later. Like I remember the first time I saw snow, which was probably weird for you guys, but... It's weird for me to hear that someone didn't see the ocean until they were nine or an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when was the snow day?
I was five and my family drove up to the snow. Like that was something that you do. You just drive for hours until you reach the snow. Uh-huh. And then we just get out and like hang out in it and then drive home. Like, because it was such a novelty. Just like, let's go to the snow.
Yeah,
I want to believe that everyone when they see the ocean for the first time, it's like have you guys seen Blast from the Past, an old Brendan Fraser Alicia Silverstone movie?
Yes.
Alicia Silverstone was not in Blast from the Past. She was in
Blast from the Past.
Okay, sorry, I was thinking Encino Man. I got that mixed up with Encino Man. No, she was
Blast
in
from the Past is when he's like in the nuclear underground thing.
I have seen Blast from the Past.
Yeah, so he sees the ocean for the first time, and I want to believe that's how everyone should react when they see the ocean for the first time.
How does he react? Does he cry?
He reacts euphorically. Maybe he cries. If he's crying, you can't tell because there's water.
I don't remember how I reacted, but I still remember experiencing it fondly. But also I remember, oh, this is much colder than I was expecting.
That's what I thought about snow.
So California water is cold, and so our little family we were spoiled because I spent 4 years in Hawaii, and we came back from Hawaii and we went to visit Valerie's family in California. We went to Ventura Beach, and I like put my foot in the water, and then I spent the rest of the day on the beach talking to my mother-in-law and other people, because I just can't believe how cold the California water is. Because I think the California water current comes from the north, right?
Yeah, it comes from Alaska.
Yeah, it's freezing cold water.
When I lived in Monterey studying marine biology, there was a guy in our group who had never seen the ocean, and he was like 25.
And he was a marine biologist?
Yeah, we went there as like a marine biology studying this whole spring semester. And we got there, and the first time we went down to the beach, we were all just kind of standing on the sand talking. And then we're like, what's his face go? And we look around, and we can't find him. And then he had just run out into the water with his clothes on. It was just,
the sea had taken him.
He was just so excited. We didn't know that he had never seen it before. And he was just like out there rolling around. It was so fun to watch. It was the greatest thing.
Was his whole plan of picking a major in a career. It's like, I got to see the ocean. This was his first opportunity.
Yeah.
Wow. So I've lived in Monterey, California twice, and that's got to be my favorite place I've ever lived. It's so beautiful there.
I agree. Me too.
Well, eventually we got to talk about movies. So I don't know what the plan is other than I get to talk about Back to the Beach. But someone has got to get us rolling with Big Wednesday.
That's me.
Yay.
So back to the... No, oh, that's yours. Big Wednesday. Have my notes up. Okay, so Big Wednesday, it is the story of these three friends, and it covers about 12 years in the 60s of Southern California. I think it's supposed to be in Malibu. So it starts, it's broken up into four like seasons. So it starts out in 1962 in the summer, and they're still teenagers. And it starts with them like on the beach, and it's Matt, Jack, and Leroy, played by Jean-Michel Vincent, William Katt, and Gary Busey. And so it starts with them on the beach. Matt's already an alcoholic. Leroy is already insane.
The only way to get sober is to surf, is what I understand.
Yeah, so it starts out with Matt drunk, and they're trying to get him in the water to surf because he'll surf. Now we'll wake him up.
To sober him. It seems like surfing drunk is really dangerous.
Yeah, but he does it.
I know.
Yeah, he surfs, and everyone's like, this is awesome. So, and then you also meet Bear, who is the surfboard maker. He's like the old surfing sage. He lives at the end of the pier, makes their surfboards. He's like a little guru. And then throughout this first scene, everybody's talking about a big party at Jack's house. They essentially just like plan a party at Jack's house without him agreeing to it. So then there's this huge 60s party where everybody's crazy, and then they have a big fight at the end. There's a lot of fighting.
Is Jack's mom the coolest or what?
Yeah, and that's his mom in real life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, and she's just upstairs reading a book while they have this crazy party. And it sounds like they do it all the time because she's like, don't let him do this again. Don't let him break my coffee table.
But they're like shattering windows and everything.
Shattering windows.
I mean, I think her red line for her.
Her red line is someone urinating into the iron.
Yeah, apparently. That happens not at this party, but at some party.
It happened, happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that required a later intervention, I believe.
After this party, they go on a trip to Mexico, which I read in the trivia is inspired from real events, this Mexico trip. They go down to Tijuana. And while they're there, they start a fight in a strip club, and that does not go as well as the fight at their house. They end up like some guy gets shot. Their car gets vandalized. Leroy gets married. Matt's girlfriend announces she's pregnant while they're all sitting around drinking.
The two fights, right? I immediately thought of the two fights where, like, I guess when you're in Southern California and you're fighting, it's all good fun, right? Even the guys who get beat up, it's all good fun. But in Mexico, someone always pulls out a knife, right?
Yeah.
It gets real ugly real fast.
I really like how, like, the pregnancy of the girlfriend and Leroy getting married are probably the two least consequential things in the movie. but the way they react to it, especially.
Yeah.
So then you skip a few years to 1965. It's the fall, and Matt is still an alcoholic. But Jack's a lifeguard. Leroy's still crazy. And they are drafted to the Vietnam War. And so this whole thing is them trying to get out of the draft. So they all go in as different things. So somebody's a Nazi. Somebody's like a cripple. Gary Busey plays an insane person, and then
he plays himself, right? Because I feel like Gary Busey's character doesn't have to change.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens in the movie too. They're like, was he crazy? yeah, and then a guy plays a gay guy because gay people weren't allowed in the army at the time, and then Matt just goes in to the army. So everybody gets out except Matt, who didn't try to get out, and Waxer, who tried to be the gay guy, which is really good because, you know, that that excuse shouldn't have worked. So.
Well, that was, I thought that was a pretty great moment when the guy said, "So you're gay, huh? You're going to love the army. There's men everywhere."
You get real close.
Yeah, you get real close.
And then Bear gets kicked off the pier, and he gets married and moves inland, and he has, like, this surf shop that's really successful.
Corporate.
So then it also has Bear's wedding, which the scene I liked at Bear's wedding is when Jack goes up, and he's like, "Oh, I quit drinking." And they're like, "Have a drink with your friends." And it's unlike every church video I ever saw my whole life, because he caves into peer pressure and everybody gets along and has a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Nothing bad happened.
I wrote down peer pressure at Bear's wedding! !
Yeah. Without the ideal ending, but everybody's happy. So.
Yeah.
So then it moves on to 1968. Waxter, the guy who tried to pretend to be gay, he died, so they have his funeral. Jack comes back from the Vietnam War, like a war hero. It just shows how things are changed. There's drugs, there's hippies, surfing has changed.
Jack appeared to be back in a Gestapo uniform. He looked really
He comes back with a little mustache and a haircut.
Yeah, yeah. He's like cosplaying Hitler on the way back. He's just like really conforming to the whole military thing.
Yeah, I don't know what army ranks. I don't recognize him, but it shows like his coat has a bunch of ribbons. So I don't know.
Yeah. So it's too bad because he had beautiful long blonde hair, right? He had the best haircut pre-military.
Oh, that like it was curls. Dreamy. Yeah,
It was great.
My greatest American hero days, I think it was too red a little bit.
Now, I think the movie glosses over this real fast, but I'm pretty sure that Leroy, post-Vietnam, his job now is he sells drugs to children.
No, that's not Leroy. That's some other guy. The Candyman.
Oh. Okay, thank heavens. I don't know. I guess I thought that was Leroy. Okay,
he's not there when he comes back.
The straight guy. Jack, the straight guy. He's like, "Okay, yeah, I'm straight, I'm turning people in, I'm punching people out who don't belong on the beach even though they're my best friends, and I'm like a decorated war hero, and I'm so buttoned up." But, you know, when his friend says, "Yeah, I sell drugs to kids," he just laughs it off like, "Oh, you."
So I think what they do say about Leroy, though, is that he's gone to Hawaii and he's surfing the pipeline, right? Is that Leroy
that's
doing
that?
Yeah,
he's like surfing in Hawaii and up north. Like, yeah, he's gone away.
Okay.
And then, but they come back, they have this little, like, funeral for Waxer, so Leroy comes back then. But then the final scene is 1974, it's the Great Swell. I think, Roy, you were expecting it to be the East Swell, because they have the North Swell, the South Swell, the West Swell. But there's no East Swell, because that's where the land is.
That's odd. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Okay, there should have been an East Swell.
But
yeah,
I do notice...
The East Swell is the man, is what it is.
No East Swell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our friend Matt, right? We know he's old and washed up because he's wearing glasses now.
Yeah. I think he's like, he would be like 30.
Yeah, I know.
They're old now. They're washed up. Old surfers. So there's the Great Swell. This is the swell that Bear talked about in the beginning. So this all like, there's all these references to the beginning. So in the beginning, Bear was building this like big gun board. And so now Matt's going to write it. Jack and Leroy come back. They're all still totally ripped as if they've been surfing every day, even though they have like inland jobs. So this is the big Wednesday that they've been talking about and looking forward to their whole life. Except that Bear now is washed up. At the beginning, Bear is like building surfboards and there's this shopping cart guy. Now Bear is the shopping cart, like homeless weird guy on the beach. And then, Matt's now like the old time sage surfer. So they go out and they have their big surf day. And Jerry Lopez is a famous surfer in real life. He's there. I like how they have him come into the movie. And then mostly he just watches.
So he's like, is he like the passing of the torch? He's the new generation of surfer. Is that what he's supposed to be?
I think he's like the new type of surfing, like because he's the fancy surfer. Like when they go see that surf movie, and it's all like hip and crazy. And then they kind of were like, oh, these old time surfers with their giant boards. So Jerry Lopez is the new kind of surfer. But then at the end, when he comes back out and he gives his board to the kid, I think that's like the passing of the torch.
Yeah, old-time surfing now, is like cross-country skiing, right? Is that what they're like relating to?
No, it's like backcountry skiing.
Well, I got the sense that, you know, when you're walking up and down on the board, you could just stay on that wave for like several miles, you know? When you're hot-dogging, it's like, you know, it's like a couple seconds.
So the tables will turn for Jerry Lopez two movies from now.
Yes.
He's always kind of a bad guy.
So now walk us through the part where Matt dies on the wave that's too big for him.
He dies? He doesn't die.
Oh, okay. Well, walk us through the part where Matt doesn't die.
Well, they all go out and then they all ride the big waves, which like they always dreamed they would. But I think Matt on his like second ride, because I think he rides it the first time and then he's riding again and he wipes out and they all have to go swim out there and rescue him. Thankfully, Jack is a retired lifeguard.
Yeah, that's true. And they all look like
he like sprains his ankle. So,
yeah, I wrote down Matt shoots the curl, then shoots the coral.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that Matt got dragged along a half a mile worth of coral.
Yeah,
and we don't see it, but the part we don't see is that his body's completely opened up due to coral cut.
Yeah,
he gets drilled.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so this movie is kind of like, this feels like it's in the vein of Stand By Me. Sort of like a, I mean, this is definitely a coming of age kind of movie, right? But just with the backdrop of surfing. So
I think it's a coming of age of surfing.
What's your history with this film? Why is this film a big deal?
This was a movie that my brothers watched, and then they introduced me to it as like a teenager. And then my best friend and I would watch it a lot, and she actually ended up naming one of her kids Jack after Jack in the movie. Yes, so when I was choosing my three movies, at first I was going to choose the three movies that I quote the most, like on a day-to-day basis without realizing it. Like, you know, there's quotes you say from movies and there's quotes that you say as your own, like they're just part of your vocabulary. So Big Wednesday is a lot of stuff that I just say, like people don't know it as a movie quote. I'm not trying to pass off a movie quote. I'm just saying it. So there's a lot of stuff in here that like, my brothers and I say to each other all the time. My best friend and I say all the time. So, yeah.
You know, I have to ask this. Why did Stacy choose the lamest of the three to name her son after?
Jack?
Yeah.
Because he's the good guy. You don't want to name him Leroy. And that's a stupid name anyway.
Well, Leroy, you know.
Whoa.
that's Leroy's name, who's also in this call. He's the buttoned up man. He's the man, you know.
He's a good guy.
I don't know.
He's a good guy.
Is he supposed to like Jack? Are you supposed to like that he's so volunteered for the war and he punches out Matt on the beach?
But he always has good intentions and he always comes around and he's really good looking.
He's super dreamy.
He's dreamy, yeah.
And I mean, can you root for – I mean, Matt's like the guy who like for large portions of this film sleeps in the weeds behind the freeway sign, right?
Yeah. He even says so himself. Like, I don't want kids looking up to me.
Yeah, but he pulls it all together.
Like Charles Barkley.
Does he pull it all together?
A lot.
He got his glass – that pulling it together.
But Jack pulled it all together by just like being so anti-surfer. You know, he's like, he's a lifeguard. He's in the uniform. He has that mustache.
The mustache is pretty bad.
And he cut his glorious hair.
Would you say being a lifeguard makes you anti-surfer?
Yeah, yeah. All the lifeguards trying.
It shows him as a lifeguard immediately after Bear says you'll be living under the Buddha reign of the lifeguard state or something. And then the next scene is Jack as a lifeguard.
Hmm. So Bear, so we have some surfer gurus in all of these films, at least two of them. I don't know who the surfer guru is supposed to be in Back to the Beach. Maybe it's Pee-wee, I don't know. But Bear's trajectory is just like, it starts pretty low at the beginning of the film, right? But at least he's like got a living, but his trajectory is just a long straight line that goes downhill. Like, poor Bear.
Does it go downhill? I think it starts out, he's like, that's what he would have stayed at when he lives on the pier and he makes the boards and he's like happy.
So what ruined it for Bear? Was it getting married or was it getting evicted?
I think it's getting evicted, because that's what he says. He says, they've condemned the pier. I have to move inland. He's like, marriage, divorce, pay taxes, the whole damn thing.
So that's
what he does. He gets married, divorced, and he goes homeless.
This is a real beach, right? Like, because I love like the shot of them walking down these like stone steps. It's like they're coming from the top of the Acropolis or something onto the beach.
Yeah, I was telling John when we watched that I really like that, because that's like what the beach is like. When you go and you have like a beach that's your home beach, there's stuff there that's like the infrastructure of it is always like crumbling and falling apart. And you're like, how old is this? But it's always like that. It never really
changes.
Like the ancient
Greeks used to surf here.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And so
you're like, when was this ever new? Like, it's always like this your whole life.
There's that wonderful piece of graffiti on the wall of the temple steps that said, was it say surfer's rule or surfing rules?
Yeah, the graffiti changes. I think that's
boys drool.
Boys drool, yeah. I think that's the last shot of the film, right? Is they're going up the steps and you see the surfer's rule graffiti.
Yeah, but it's like the first shot and then the last shot.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful symmetry. So this, I really like this movie. I thought this movie was great. And it made me want to surf, and I'm never going to surf. It's far too late for that. But nothing. I've got nothing to redeem myself. So
yeah,
I do podcasts.
I purposely didn't choose my favorite movies because I didn't want to hear you guys pick them apart. But Big Wednesday is one of my favorite movies.
It's a good movie. It's so good that like Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas, they wanted points on this movie because they were making Star Wars and Apocalypse Now. And they're like, okay, well, the Star Wars and Apocalypse Now, those might be big failures, but Big Wednesday, you know, our friend John Milius made this, and so we want to get in on this action. And this was the only one that didn't do well. It's a cult film. It's a good movie that I really like, but I had never heard of until I met Katie, which is weird.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
So John Milius ended up being called in to help rewrite Apocalypse Now, right?
Yeah, and that's why there's surf references in it.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and I wondered if Jack got an opportunity to surf in Vietnam. Who's to say?
Yeah, maybe the surfer on the back of the boat in Apocalypse Now is based on Jack.
So what character is played by Mr. England?
What's his character's name? Shoot. It's like Wowsy or something. Wowsy?
What?
Is that right?
So the guy who plays Freddy Krueger is in this film, but I couldn't pick him out, yeah.
You didn't see him? He's
I don't know what he looked like as a 10-year-old or however old he was.
No, he's one of the teenagers, so he actually has some dialogue. You'll see him when at the end of the fight. And the enforcer comes out and says, hey, you guys, split. Freddy Krueger standing right behind him. And then when Jack leaves to go to Vietnam and everybody's slowly saying goodbye to him at the door, he's the one that says, stay casual, Barlow. And he shakes his hand.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried. I didn't write down. He did something. He was in the Vietnam getaway from the Vietnam inspection scenes too, but I did not write down who he was in that. But he was another one of the guys trying to get out of Vietnam.
Yeah, he wasn't in the main group, but he was the blind guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh
yeah, the guy who was pretending to be blind the whole time with the glasses and the stick and everything. That is Freddy Krueger. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have anything more you want to say about Big Wednesday?
I just really like how much fighting there is with no swearing. Like, it's so wholesome.
Yeah, so it's a lovely 60s, a big fight is a lovely fight. It's a really lovely fight. Like it feels like even the guys getting pounded are having a good time at that fight.
Well, the whole thing, even when they're like yelling at each other, like they yell things like split and stuff it.
Yes. and there's a jump kick. There's a flying jump kick in that fight.
It's glorious.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I think this is when Gary Busey like found his crazy. Like I think he played this character and then it was just like, I'm just going to be this forever.
So this is maybe what, like 5 or 6 years before the Buddy Holly story?
I think it's the year after.
I want to say it's the same year.
Yeah, I think it was right immediately after.
Okay, I'm just checking to make sure you guys...
Movie's 1978. This movie's later than I thought.
Yes, 1978. Okay, I'm scrolling down on IMDb, 2002. Gary Busey's in a lot of stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, Buddy Holly story, 1978. Big Wednesday, 1978. Buddy Holly story is
what written, year
is listed right before.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so I think he did this character, and then he just decided he was going to never get out of character.
So my first big Gary Busey movie was probably Lethal Weapon, right? Where he's just the psychotic albino that wants to kill Mel Gibson. Yeah. Anyway, all right. You guys ready to talk about Back to the Beach?
Yes.
So this is funny because you mentioned you quote this movie or like lines in this movie have become part of your daily dialogue or regular dialogue. And I had forgotten Back to the Beach because it's been over 25 years since I've seen it. But I still like on a weekly basis, I'll find an excuse to say, why did I ever leave Ohio?
So I think I only know like 3 people who have seen this movie. And then when we watched Annette, then in your notes, you said, where's all the Skippy peanut butter? And I was like, Roy has seen Back to the Beach. And I had to explain to John what that reference was. So then I was excited to like choose this movie and then talk to somebody else who watched it when they were young.
So I remember liking this movie, and this was another one of like my mom loved this movie, so we watched it a lot. But watching it again, I love this movie. And I was worried that there'd be just like a lot of nostalgia, and there was some, but like, man, I love this movie. So, John, when you watched this go around, did you remember any of it from the Fillmore home?
Okay, yeah. I never watched the movie with you. Like, I just wandered into your house looking to play Nintendo, and you were all watching scenes from Back to the Beach. I never sat down and watched the whole thing.
Or wrestling. I mean, it was one of the two.
So. Yeah, I don't know why your household is so weird. But I remember the Down Under wave, the Mahana
Kahuna, the Humunga Cowabunga
from Down Under. Yeah, I remember watching that scene at your house pretty vividly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could shorten this movie to a montage of just the scenes where Troy is in the scene, and just have it be 10 minutes of Troy, and it'd be so good. Anyway, here, let's sum this movie up real quick. So you have Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello, although he doesn't go by Frankie in this movie because the name Frankie Avalon, even though that's the actor's name, is owned by the Beach Party people. So they don't call him Frankie at all in this film. Annette Funicello in the Beach Party movies, I guess she went by another name like Deb or Doris or something. So you can call her Annette in these films.
Are all of those Beach Party movies, are they like sequels of each other?
I don't know if they're supposed to be sequels or if it's just like a collection of I don't know if there's any continuity. I've never seen any of them. Have any of you guys seen like any of them?
I saw Beach Plank at Bingo, I think. After watching Back to the Beach, I went back and watched one with my mom.
Good for you.
Is How to Stuff a Wild Bikini, is that included one of those? Because Roy, that was in one of your movie club things from your blog from forever ago.
Yeah, it didn't work out because I got like halfway into it and so my wife, who's from Southern California, she doesn't love movies that primarily involve bikinis. So anyway, maybe that's when the movie club died. Anyway, but so I think that one has Annette, but it doesn't have Frankie or the other way around. But the 4 big ones that they did were Beach Party, Muscle Beach Party, Bikini Beach, and Beach Blanket Bingo, which is supposed to be the best of the bunch, and I haven't seen any of them. There was one called Pajama Party, but Tommy Kirk replaces Frankie Avalon in that film.
Tommy Kirk is no
Frankie Avalon.
He's great, though, Tommy Kirk. I like him.
Okay. Well, anyway, in Back to the Beach, the plot here is that Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello are real people, because they are. They're just playing themselves. And he sells cars. Where do they live? Ohio. Yeah, they live in Ohio. And and he's kind of cracked under the pressure of being a car salesman. They need a vacation, so they're going to go to Hawaii. But on the way to Hawaii, they stop to their layover's in L.A., and so they stop to see their daughter, Sandy. You should know they have a son named Bobby, who basically is he dresses like Reno the dog in Top Dog when he's got on his dad disciplined daddy outfit. So that's Bobby. Bobby's got a line where he says, "Hawaii, a pretty great place for a guy who only wears black." So Hawaii, Bobby's kind of a punk wannabe, I guess. Anyway, they get to where are they supposed to be in California? Is this Malibu? Does anyone know?
They don't say.
I think it's just L.A.
Okay, so wherever they are, they get there. Sandy lives on a pier. Frankie is just kind of getting really uptight about everything. Annette's really excited to be back at the beach, but Frankie can't get into it. He just wants to leave as fast as he can, but he's also upset because he thinks his daughter's living with someone. She is. It's a surfer. So he goes, they go to find...
Why does he want to get off the beach? They were heading to Hawaii. What were they going to do in Hawaii?
Yeah, I have no idea. Sell cars. I don't know. So, anyway, they have one last stop before they go to the airport that night. It seems like their layover was really a really comfy layover. Like it seemed to, they had plenty of time. So they went to Daddy-O's, which is where their daughter Sandy works. Okay, so it's Connie, right? Which, by the way, I really wanted Connie to be the bad girl in all the original Beach Party movies, but she's not in any of them, as far as I can tell. So Connie sees Frankie, and I guess they had a flame or whatever, and so she convinces him to stay and sing a song, and all of a sudden he's having a really good time, and Annette's not, and so they kind of have a fight, and they break up that night, and the plot essentially is that they try to make each other jealous in fun ways, and then there's a party at the end that Frankie throws where he burns a bunch of stuff at the beach, and that's how he tells Annette he wants to get back together. They eventually do get back together. However, in the meantime, Bobby has joined the beach gang that's run by Zed. Zed is God on the beach. And this beach gang is bad news. And it finally comes to a head where this beach gang is claiming the beach is theirs. And they're going to settle the dispute with a surf off. I forgot to mention the guy that Sandy was seeing. What's his name? Billy or...
Michael. Fred.
Michael. Sure, Michael. Okay. Michael doesn't make his living making and selling surfboards. He does make surfboards and he gives them away. I have no idea how an unemployed Michael can afford the materials and the equipment to make surfboards and give them away. But that's
volume.
It's okay. Very good. Yeah. And so anyway, he's supposed to be the person who's surfing for the good guys, but Frankie smashes his foot with a drum, and and so it turns out it's going to be Robin. And it seems like there had to be another good surfer, right? Like the opening credits showed some really good surfing. There were some good surfers. There was some really good surfing. But we're stuck with Robin, who apparently can't even swim, according to Zed.
No, the opening credits was only Wipeouts.
Yeah, it was all Wipeouts. Those people are all dead now. Yeah. They can't protect the beach.
So when Zed
says, Robin's the only one that didn't fall down.
Yeah.
But when Zed says that Robin can't even swim, she doesn't really argue it, right? She's like, but okay. So the good news is that Frankie Avalon has got his board from Daddy-O's. He ran all the way to Daddy-O's. He grabbed his 25-foot board, and he's going to surf on that. And they get out there, and he's having a pretty rough time. And then the humunga cowabunga from down under comes in, and he finds his manhood.
Which put him in the hospital 20 years ago.
Yeah, which is why he stopped surfing.
That's why he stopped surfing, yeah. So he finds his manhood, and he surfs that wave, and he golfs from that wave, and he shaves from that wave. And in the end, Bobby decides he wants to be just like his father, and he gets the hair helmet, and the right people are in love, and everyone's happy. And I think they stay at that beach forever, and they never leave again. And that's Back to the Beach. My friend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was a movie.
So I really... I don't know if I want to say I love Bobby, but I kind of love the Bobby relationship with his dad, right? And honestly, I don't know if this movie came out before The Simpsons, but like Bobby and Frankie are there. That's Bart and Homer, right? Like I think Frankie really would kill his son if Annette wasn't there to stop him, right? But
those
so-
were probably my favorite parts of the movie, not because I liked Bobby, but because I liked at least threats to Bobby's physical being.
like how Bobby always...
Mickey Avalon says, can I just hit him in the back of the head with a rock just once, please? That kind of
I like how Bobby always pulls out the switchblade on his dad, but it's not really a switchblade, it's a comb.
The switchblade comb that he's constantly flashing. Yeah. So there's some things I really love about this movie. It feels super Southern California 80s. I love the colors. I love the outfits. And I love the music. This has got a great soundtrack. And it's one of the... So there's a part in this movie where Annette and Sandy don't know what to do. And Annette says, well, let's have a pajama party. And by the way, I guess she lives on the pier about a house down from Zed and the biker gang. so I don't know why that was never a problem in the past. But anyway, they have a big pajama party. And so at the end of the movie, when Frankie's trying to set up this surfing competition to settle who has control of the beach. He says, let's settle this like we did in the old days. And then there's just, did you guys catch the voice in the background that said, pajama, party?
I think it was beautiful because I think it was one of Zed's crew.
Yeah, I know.
Just sarcastically like, what, a pajama party? It was totally off screen, but you could hear it, yeah.
They didn't say it sarcastically, though. They said it like, hopefully. Like,
yeah, I know. It was hopeful. It was hopeful. So with this, I
misheard it then. I read it like there was a character commenting on the silly things that Frankie and Annette were doing.
Oh, I think I'm on like Katie's that. Side.
I read it like
come on, halter top. It was that kind of.
I was telling John when we saw it that watching this movie growing up, it was like, you know how growing up you think that the Bermuda Triangle is a big deal and quicksand and stuff. And I thought pajama parties were going to be like this big thing to look forward to when I grew up. Like I was going to be a teenager and have pajama parties. I was going to be an adult and have pajama parties. And I've never seen anybody wear pajamas. like
you're going to have a pajama party with your daughter. Like,
yeah, and I don't wear sexy pajamas with my mom and dance around the yard in them together. That never happened.
It could have, though. I mean, you could have made it happen.
Yeah. If I'd had a daughter, I would have had pajama parties like this with her.
I once tried to have like a dance party at my house, and it was the dumbest, lamest thing ever. But like I'd seen it work in TV shows and movies, and it just doesn't. It's one of those things, right, where it just doesn't work out horribly well.
No.
But there's some great. I mean, this whole movie is just chock full of cameos. But the ones that are like more geared towards surf culture, I guess you got Dick Dale, who kind of was the grandfather of surf rock and roll, right? And you've got Stevie Ray Vaughan. So there's some good music in this. Fishbone, I've heard of them, and they were definitely in this movie. But we should talk about – it's weird for me to say we need to talk about the bikinis, but like there are some really great outfits. And I think Lori Loughlin had one where it was a bikini top and then it was this the giant black and white striped skirt. What an amazing swimming suit. So maybe the swimming skirt needs to come back, like the full-length swimming skirt. but Annette had like 20 different polka dot swimming suits, and they were every single one of them was.
Yeah, her outfits are crazy in this, and everything matches. She had like matching earrings and a matching headband and matching shoes.
So I don't know if it's just me, but they're at the beach and she's in her yellow polka dot swim outfit, and then they do the Jamaica ska number, and then she's in a red polka dot outfit. And are those supposed to be two different time periods, or did she just change? Know.
She changes every hour because the whole movie takes place in 10 hours during their layover.
The beginning does.
Yeah. Also, Troy has the ability to change when we blink as well. Troy has several outfit changes, and some of them are really great. He's got some pretty good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I mean, there's nothing like crazy award-winning about this film, but I really enjoy it. I had a good time watching this movie. Seriously, if I was going to watch one of these movies again right now, I'd pop this one in a heartbeat. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know what? I mean, we're going to talk about our rankings, but I would probably pop in North Shore again. I think just because, well, we haven't talked about North Shore yet, because it's just, there's something about it where I can just relax and watch it, even though the stakes are big and there are a lot of people beating each other up and everything. But well, it just kind of goes down easy.
It's got the Nia Peoples factor in as well. So
yeah,
totally does. I knew you'd like it the best. I told you beforehand.
I never said I liked it the best.
I said it's not my favorite, but it's the most rewatchable, and I think you'll appreciate like the 80s-ness of it.
So, right. John, did you ever watch Nia Peoples and the sound? Was it the Dance Machine? Like, she hosted Nia a dance party. Machine. Yeah, Nia Peoples Dance Machine. And she had a very short career as a recording artist. I'm trying to remember the name of any of her songs, but she had a couple of songs.
Well, we'll get to Nia Peoples in a minute. But to answer your question, I remember Nia Peoples Dance Machine because I went over to your house and Josh was teasing you and he said, "It's time to watch Nia Peoples Dance Machine, Roy." And you're like, "No, I don't want to watch it, Josh." And he's like, "Yeah, we're doing it. We're having a dance party, Roy." And you were like, "No, Josh, no."
So yeah. Nia Peoples is probably what
fans
convinced...
of this podcast know, Josh.
So Nia Peoples is probably what convinced me that I could successfully have a dance party at my house, right? So her only hit was a song called Trouble, and it's pretty mediocre, but she feels like a real superstar in these films as far as like, oh my gosh, they got Nia Peoples. So, but
I have some Nia Peoples trivia later, which I think is very interesting considering, well, you know, she was acting and
yeah, but sure. for this film it's like 14-year-old Nia Peoples, right? Like she looks crazy young in this movie.
Yeah. Well, she grew up fast.
She's 14.
Yeah. Okay, so North Shore. Here's another movie I've never heard of. Anyway, this guy, his name is Rick, and he's the only person who enters a surfing contest in Arizona, and that gives him kind of a... He's like, "I can surf the North Shore in Hawaii now." So he tells his mom, he's like, "Mom, I'm going to Hawaii." And she's like, "But you have a scholarship." And he's like, "Well, I think he has a pretty good point. It's like, hey, the only time to win surf competitions is right now, you know, when I'm
can we point out... He's spending his summer vacation in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important. Anyway, move on.
Okay, so yeah, he spends his summer vacation in Hawaii before school. He's hoping to win some surf contests. And
I don't think he's hoping to win surf contests. I think he's just going to surf.
Well, maybe he's going to surf. Well, I mean, I feel like he's like, he just won a surf competition. And so I feel like at the beginning, and you've seen this a million times, so you know. But, I mean, my impression seeing it for the first time, he has the spirit of winning contests in him, which is like a poison in him. Like a poison that Chandler tries to remove from him in a Miyagi-type way. We'll get to that later.
Right.
Yeah. Unsuccessful.
Yeah, yeah. And so he goes there, and, you know, within 5 minutes he's mugged, and he doesn't have a passport, he doesn't have anything. His mom... is, you know, at home, she was all worried about him, and, well, I'll get to her later. We need to see more of his mom. I wanted, I think there are a lot of deleted scenes of his mom's life when he's in Hawaii during that summer, like what she's doing, because there should have been a lot of shots of her taking off her glasses and, like, tossing her hair around, because I felt like Raptor was made for that. She was just, like, ready to go. She, you know, she was, like, had that librarian look. I'm like, who's his mom going to date in this movie? But she didn't date anybody.
So you're saying, like, his mom is, like, the hot for teacher, sort of?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that's how she was kind of dressed. Yeah. She's 2 years older than he is. So. The point is, Rick meets a lot of mentors in Hawaii. First, he meets these two Australian guys that drag him through the cane fields and nearly light him on fire, nearly get him killed by the Huis, who were like kind of protecting that. And they try to teach him how to surf to no avail. He catches one wave, and it's a wuss wave, and everybody makes fun of him for it. He actually falls down on the reef, gets cut up real bad. Everyone makes fun of him for it. He makes a new friend, Turtle. Turtle attempts to teach him how to surf. Turtle's no good teacher. The only person who can teach him how to surf is a person named Chandler, who I guess needs a son to look after. Chandler doesn't teach him how to surf. He teaches him like all sorts of wave theory. He like learns, you know, I don't know if he has like wave textbooks or whatever, but he's like, okay, learn to love the wave, learn to do this. But the big thing Chandler's not into is surfing contests. Those are bad. Those are bad things. Yeah. And actually Chandler says a line that actually resonated with me. He's like, the competition between us kind of brings out the worst in humanity, like our animal instincts. And so he doesn't like competition. I guess he is not a neo-capitalist in the slightest. I think he believes in social communes and stuff like that. And so that's Chandler. But you know what? Rick, he enters into the pipeline. What's the contest called?
Pipeline Classic.
And his mentor is crushed. He's like, you know, how dare you join this contest, you know. But he does the Pipeline Classic, and even though he's an absolute amateur, because he doesn't know how to surf, he was surfing in a wave pool at the beginning, he gets all the way to the end versus the bad guy, who is
Lance Burkhart.
I always forget his name. Lance Burkhart, who is, you know, he's like the chiseled. He seems like a really mean guy in real life, but apparently that's Laird Hamilton, the famous surfer, whose career took a slight hit from playing a villain in this movie. Apparently,
yeah. So Laird Hamilton is like this really famous big wave surfer who is like Chandler's mentality in real life, and his father who raised him was like, he's like a surfboard maker in Oahu who was like Chandler. So in real life, he's like this super great guy, and he's still this big surfer, big wave surfer. So yeah, he complains that being a North Shore, people think he's like Lance Burkhart, and people would like boo him. And he's like, no, I'm a nice guy.
So. Yeah, but anyway, he's a terrible person in this. He grabs Rick's cable at the end, so Rick should have won.
Leash.
His leash on his surfboard. Sure. He grabs his leash so that he couldn't catch the end wave, which is what you're supposed to do. I found this kind of fascinating because, like, the surf competition, I've never watched a super surf competition before, but I didn't realize that actually catching the waves is, like, the biggest part of the surf competition. It's, like, whoever catches the most waves, plus also the sheer radicalness of the moves is also...
sheer radicalness is, yeah.
It's a real... thing that they're judged on is the sheer radicalness, but the most important thing is probably catching the actual waves. And so,
well, you know, it's not who catches the most. It's like you have to catch a minimum of this many, and then you're judged on like the best four rides.
Right. Okay. So, but you have to catch a minimum.
They each
of four,
fell on one,
right?
And so they had to catch another one to make up for it.
But they all barely made the minimum, right?
Yeah, because the waves stopped coming. Because Lance and Rick each fell; they wiped out, so yeah, they needed to catch one more. Yeah. And then there's no waves.
Okay. Well, anyway,
there's a reason why there's no waves. There's a really good reason for it, and I'm going to wait until my awards. But anyway.
The reason is because all the waves were in California at that time, because the movies were filmed simultaneously. Because the movies came out within like 10 days of each other. And so the waves stopped in Hawaii because they were all forming the Humunga Cowabunga from Down Under in Back to the Beach. Right? I'm sorry I took that away from you, but that's the truth. I know that's what you were going to say.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Anyway, so Chandler's really mad because he sees that, you know, he grabbed the leash and, you know, he's a bad guy and Laird Hamilton doesn't deserve to surf anymore. He's a bad guy in real life. We all know that. And so he's really mad, but by then, you know, Rick finally learned his Zen lesson. And this is a surfing lesson. It's like, it's not about competition. It's not about contest, man. It's about catching the wave and helping your brother out. And so he doesn't care about the contest anymore. And I assume he goes back to the mainland to get a scholarship. Now, there's a side thing. Also, there's this girl named Kiani who likes him. And that's it. I don't know why she likes him. He's a foreigner. He's short. He doesn't know how to surf. But I guess maybe he's, you know, the... Well, actually, I have to ask you guys this. Why does Kiani like Rick? He hasn't even won the surf competition yet.
Because he's nice.
I don't know. He's nice. He's got plucky optimism, right? People like optimism. He's persistent, right? I mean, just because she turned down his kissing four times doesn't mean you shouldn't try a fifth time. Yeah. So, yeah, and he's kind of goofy looking. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's nice to her.
And he's close to her age. They're both like 13 or 14 or something. So
they both look really, really young, yes. Okay. Well, Kiani, she's cousins with Vince, and Vince is the head of the Hooies. And the Hooies are the people, one of the Hooies, one bad Hooey, is the one who mugged. Well, he didn't really mug. He silently mugged Rick at the beginning by just looting his stuff when Rick was in the ocean at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is not like a good hooey thing to do. If a hooey takes your stuff, he's going to take your stuff in to your face. Because at one point, like, you think Vince is kind of a bad guy a little bit, because he's like, oh, these people, you know, he's like, oh, what's the word? Howley?
Howley.
You know, you're a Howley, you're taking our waves. And at one point, Rick does take Vince's wave, and, you know, he didn't deserve it, and it was dangerous for everybody. Yeah. And so, you know, Vince has a lot of reasons to be mad at Rick, and so you think they're going to have this animosity through the whole movie. But the thing is, Vince's friend took Rick's stuff, and Rick is like, I need that buckle. And he's like, okay, you know, I'm not going to defend my fellow, you know, Hooey gang member, because, you know, he took this guy's buckle when he was surfing, and that's a no-no. So anyway, Vince comes around, yeah, and he helps him at the end. That's the other thing. And also, Kiani almost abandons her family to go with them to New York, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has to raise
her brother. They set it up for a sequel.
Yeah.
So, don't they? Like, at the end, he's like, will you come back? He's like, yeah, I'll come back. And then I'm like, okay, where's North Shore Part 2? There is no North Shore Part 2.
He goes, I'll come back someday. And she goes, why? Yeah.
Why? Friends! Okay, so when we're talking about, like, special effects, I don't know if this counts as a special effect, but when he's talking to Kiani for the first time outside that house where they're having the party, I swear Vince's head just comes up from the bottom of the screen. Like, I guess Vince was just crouching down the whole time and then just slowly stood up into the camera. And that's
they're on a staircase because she falls on the stairs and he helps her up, and then Vince walks up the stairs.
Yeah, that's plausible too.
So that's why his head shows
it
up.
It does look like they're like, okay, let's make this staircase into a special effect.
I saw that in your notes, and I was like, what is he talking about? But yeah, now I know what you're talking about. Staircase.
Right.
The hui in Hawaii, that's a real thing. And so I was reading about like Big Wednesday, and they would go the final seat in Big Wednesday, the big day, that was filmed in North Shore. And they talked about how they went there and they hired the hui to clear out the water, the surf line, so that they could film.
So they
are a real group, and they are really like in charge.
They filmed the final surfing scene in Big Wednesday on the North Shore.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it just because it's just hard? It just, like, California doesn't get that kind of wave very often, so it was just easier to go to the North Shore?
Yeah. There's a ton of, like, real surfers that were stunt doubles, and they took a trip to, like, El Salvador that they talked about, and the surf never really picked up, and then they got mugged by, like, locals there, so they had to come back to California. But yeah, and then the surfers are like, let's just go to the North Shore and then the waves will be there. So they did, and they were.
Yeah, that's what I learned from Endless Summer too. Like, you can travel the world, but why waste your time? Just go to Hawaii, right? So
I was gonna ask, is the North Shore the most famous surfing spot in the world?
It might be. I know there's like Australia too.
So according to Endless Summer, Australia just bites. Okay, so
really,
I think they went during the wrong time of year or something, because every beach they went to in Endless Summer, they were like, well, the surf was good a few days ago, sorry.
Well, according to Point Break, the once in a century storm is in Australia, but that was in Point Break, which I don't know, a lot of people don't qualify as the most advanced surfing movie.
So there's there's a phenomenon in Hawaii called, I think it's called the Eddy. And it's like every 10 years or so, like the waves are just enormous. The swell's enormous. And it happened while we were there. And my wife went and was able to get some pictures. And like, we're talking like 30-foot waves. And you have like, and when this happens, then you have the world's best surfers fly into Hawaii for this once a decade, phenomenon that happens on the North Shore. And it's crazy. It's really, impressive. But even when it's not this special decadal occurrence, during the right time of year, the waves in the North Shore get really big in certain spots, and it's really dangerous. It's like crazy dangerous. So
right, he's like, because the Arizona boy, he doesn't know what the coral is even. And I think at one
point, coral?
Yeah,
you mean the bottom of the pool? Is that what you mean?
well, yeah. Doesn't Turtle say? And I wasn't sure if this is true or not. Like how normal this is that people just die surfing. But yeah, Turtle says, "Oh yeah, they pull bodies out of the coral all the time." And so, you know, is that true? So, like, how many people die surfing in Hawaii?
I mean, it happens occasionally. I think that more so. Actually, it's not on the North Shore. It's past Honolulu on the way to John. You came out to Hawaii. What was that snorkeling place called? Hanama Bay. Between Honolulu and Hanama Bay, there's a beach called Sand Beach. That seems like a stupid name for a beach, but it's the place where there's more drownings than anywhere else in Hawaii. And it's because the wave breaks right on the shore, and people just get seriously injured. But I think more than people getting injured surfing, I think people get pulled out to sea on the North Shore regularly. But I don't know. I do know that the people swimming in the water in Hawaii, like 10,000 swimmers per year come within 5 feet of a shark and never know it. So there are some fun sharks in Hawaii. So that's good times. But no, man. So yeah, so. But those, the beaches they went to on the North Shore in the movie, those like Sunset Beach, what a great beach. And then of course the Banzai Pipeline is a great beach. Hanama Bay, Waimea Bay is a great beach. But what I found is we had some friends that got really into surfing while I was there. And I mean, we lived on a military base, so we had military friends, right? And this guy who had been surfing for a while, and he was from California, and he had surfed before he joined the military. He went to the North Shore to do some surfing, and the lifeguard there just like picked him out as like the white guy, right? And he's like, "Hey, no way are you allowed in the water, right?" So I guess the point is that I don't know. I don't know.
But that's true. That's true. The lifeguards are seriously like, okay. You're a Howley. You're a Howley. You're a Howley. You're a Howley. No, no surf, no go.
Yeah, I was never called a Barney. I don't even know if I was ever called a Howley to my face. But there are beaches in Hawaii where like the natives will beat you up if you're from the mainland, and you're, because they have their beaches and those beaches are for them. And I did have a friend who found himself in the hospital because he went surfing on the wrong beach. Wow. And not because of the waves. Yeah.
Well, he probably wouldn't have been able to handle those waves anyway.
Yeah, maybe not, but he ended up with a fractured jaw, like he got the crap beat out of him.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know if those are the hooey or just the toughs, but anyway. No, this was a fun movie, and I enjoyed seeing all the familiar sights on the North Shore. This one probably had the best surfing in it.
Did it? Okay.
It had the most real surfers. Like, there's half the cast is like real pro surfers.
I mean, the main guy wasn't a real surfer, was he?
But Rick and Turtle and Chandler, they all did most of their own surfing. And then, like, the fancy stuff pro surfers stood in. Same with North Shore.
Well, same with Big Wednesday, right?
I mean, Big Wednesday. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Roy, I have to
ask. That makes me happy. Yeah.
Did you recognize the plot of this movie?
Of this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like Karate Kid, right? This is Karate Kid?
No. Have you ever seen any other surf movie?
No.
Maybe one with penguins?
Oh, well, if you're saying that Surf's Up is based off of this film.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I've never seen Surf's Up, but Katie pointed out to me that Surf's Up is just this movie. It's the reboot of North Shore is Surf's Up with penguins.
Yep.
Yeah. So would you say Surf's Up is the greatest surfing movie of all time?
If it was live action and those were real penguins, yeah.
I would pay to watch real penguins.
Would be a better
surfing
title.
Surf of the Penguins.
Anyway, this movie had some pretty good music too. Really 80s, but like I don't know if anything. Was there a Gary Numan song in this movie?
There wasn't a Gary Numan song, but there were three pseudo Echo songs.
Ah, pseudo Echo.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized some of it. Okay.
Wasn't there a Chris Isaac song?
Living in a Dream.
Yes, there was a Chris Isaac song. That might be is that what you're thinking? The Gary Numan song? Do you get Gary Numan and Chris Isaac mixed
up? Blue Hotel. No, it was like in the opening credits or right after the opening credits. I thought, this sounds a little bit like Gary Numan. But
It's Living in a Dream is the name of the opening credits song. And that's by Pseudo Echo.
And is that a Pseudo Echo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be My Lover by Nia Peoples. She got her career started in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think Turtle was one of my early celebrity crushes, like movie crushes.
What?
He also has beautiful hair.
Yeah, which is maybe why I like Jack and Big Wednesday. They got the same hair.
Did you see North Shore first?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
When did it
like
come
Jack.
Out?
87.
Yeah, so it came out when I was like 8. Watch Big Wednesday till I was a teenager.
For me, it makes sense then why you like John, because you obviously have a type.
Yeah, that's why I don't like John to cut his hair.
Glorious,
I like his curly hair.
Glorious hair.
I do comment on his curly hair a lot.
That's funny.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, look at
I'm
that.
Glad. I don't surf. Kind of like Rick in North Shore.
You surf more than me.
That's true.
You're just like Rick. You don't surf and you have great hair.
Boy, wouldn't it have sucked if the guy from Arizona won the surf competition, like the big Channel Classic or whatever it's called.
I like that he doesn't win, because that would have been too much. Like, really? He comes there for one season and wins? Like,
But it's like a Rocky win, though, right? Because he deserved to win. He was supposed to win. And he would have won
No, because it wasn't between the two of them. It was just he made it in the main event. Because they explained the rules at the beginning. There's all the amateurs, and then the winner of the amateurs gets to surf with the pros. So it's like multi-days, and so he makes it to the main day.
Wasn't Burkhart one of the pros?
Yeah. Won the amateur competition, so he gets to surf with the pros, and then he, like, beat out some of the pros, so he was in the main event.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't between, like, him and Burkhart who won. It was just...
So it's like Rocky then, right? He's the amateur that gets a shot.
Yeah.
But Burkhart won.
No, I don't think he wins.
I thought
Burkhart. It doesn't say who wins.
Doesn't it? I thought Burkhart won because I thought he got the last wave, and so that's his fourth wave, and he was judged better on that wave than the four waves the other two caught.
They never even say who won that heat. And that was just a heat. It wasn't even like the final contest. It was just the main event heat.
The fact that he pulled the leash was like the front page of the paper the next day.
Yeah, that's because he got disqualified.
The paper says
pro surfer disqualified.
I thought it would have only been front page if it was like the actual winner of it being disqualified rather than just, you know, one of the heats being disqualified.
No, it's like Michael Jordan being disqualified. Because he's like already Lance Burkhart.
I mean,
he's the guy that he had the poster of in his house.
Yeah.
You know.
For pushing off, it's like Michael Jordan getting a foul called for pushing off.
Burkhart. Yeah, yeah, it's
ejected from the game.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
North Shore.
All right. Well, those are three surfing movies.
Yep.
Yay.
So now you said you didn't pick these movies necessarily because they're three surfing movies. So I guess explain.
Well, I didn't pick them because I wanted to pick three surfing movies. I picked them because I like the three movies independently.
You don't like them because they're surfing movies. You like,
I wasn't like, okay, I'm going to pick three surfing movies. I was like, well, I'm going to pick Big Wednesday.
Because it's anti-Vietnam. And then you pick Back to the Beach because of Pee Wee Herman. And then you pick North Shore because of Nia Peebles.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They are different enough. They are for sure. And I'm glad you got all the thrills of surfing growing up, even though you've never, you know, set foot in the water.
Yeah. I mean, people watch football and they're not football players, right?
I don't.
That's true. So now, do you go to the beach? I mean, when you go to the beach then, do you not get in the water?
Yeah, I get in the water. I'll swim.
Okay, but do you like playing in the surf, or you prefer like a calm surface?
That would be nice, but none of the beaches I grew up were like that. So you get out past the waves crashing, and you swim around out there. And then there's the excitement of trying to get back in without dying in the wave.
Before the sharks get you.
Yeah, I'm not sure of sharks, though.
Sharks are there on the other side of the reef. That's where the sharks are just waiting.
I know they're there. I studied marine biology. I know they're there. But
yes, you did.
That's why I won't watch Jaws, because I don't want to. I'm okay with it, and I don't want it to be messed up.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Have you been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. So all three of us have been to Hawaii. So there we go. And North Shore was the second best movie that takes place in Hawaii, right after Blue Hawaii with Elvis.
Sure.
And Angela Lansbury.
Right. Katie, have you seen Blue Hawaii? I know you like the song.
No.
Okay.
It's Blue pretty bad. Christmas. Yes. Is that from Blue Hawaii?
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, no, Blue. Yeah. Well, we talked about it on the thing, but that Blue Hawaii, I guess it's the best Elvis movie, but it's the movie that made me dislike the King of Rock and Roll a lot.
That's supposed to be the best Elvis movie?
Isn't it supposed to be the best Elvis movie? I think we talked about it. I think it had the highest rating. Yeah, it's the most famous Elvis movie, Blue Hawaii, isn't it?
I don't know. Okay. Oh man. All right. Well, should we do some awards?
All right.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to do the Roy order. We're just going to start with best title. Katie, why don't you kick us off?
I like Big Wednesday.
As do I. John, what's your pick?
No, the best title is Back to the Beach.
Yeah, well,
Big
it's instructive,
Wednesday
right?
It's nice to understand the title once it was explained to me. But just as a title, I guess I don't like it as much. And North Shore
whereas Back
right
to the Beach is pretty instructive. Yeah, North Shore is just a location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Then what's your favorite movie poster, John?
Okay. Well, it's North Shore because, you know, 1987 Photoshop of Nia Peebles' hair producing a rip curl that they're surfing on.
Very good. Well, what do you think, Katie?
I also went with North Shore. I like the Big Wednesday one, but not the one that you chose. So I had to go with the North Shore.
Go ahead.
The Back to the Beach one is just way too 80s.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. I just picked the first poster that IMDb gave me, but I love that. I love that poster.
I like
it. Which is why I chose
it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. All right, best tagline. Go ahead then, Katie.
I didn't write one down because I thought you were going to give them all.
I can give mine and you can agree or disagree.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I can give one of them because this is mine from from Big Wednesday. A day will come that is like no other, and nothing that happens after will ever be the same. That's from Big Wednesday. North Shore has one that's like a story. I think it's two pages
that's
worth of
mine.
Text.
Oh, there's an.
just
there's
just
another
let me read
one.
It. It's mine.
Are you going to read the long paragraph?
Yeah, this is the best tagline.
No, there's a short tagline.
No, this is it. This is it. On a small stretch of coastline as powerful as a man's will, Rick Kane came to surf the big waves. He found a woman who would show him how to survive and a challenge unlike any other. I just love that tagline because it just blatantly lies about what the movie's about. Like in a big paragraph.
There's another shorter one. What is it?
The it's peak, on the, same the dream, the ultimate test.
Yeah, that's the other one.
And then back to the beach, it's now playing at Select Theaters. Or
now playing in Select Theaters.
Oh, yeah.
No, the other one
is... I like how he meets a woman who teaches him how to survive. Like they're trapped on the island together. And they like have to learn to build a shelter or something.
Yeah. So the tagline for Back to the Beach is, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for a totally new wave motion picture experience. Which is, that's right out.
Yeah.
The stretch of coastline is as powerful as a man's will.
That's so stupid. Big Wednesday is the best one.
Yes, it is.
Now, the North Shore.
Okay, alternate taglines then. John, let's hear them.
Okay, here are the alternate taglines. Here's my alternate tagline for Big Wednesday. After we choose our leaders on Super Tuesday, this great nation shoots the curl on Big Wednesday. Okay, my tagline for Back to the Beach is, they don't make it to Hawaii, but there's plenty of curl to shoot in Malibu. And my tagline for North Shore is, the North has the best waves to shoot the curl. It sure does.
Okay. All right, Katie, what do you
got? I was trying to get North by Northwest in there somehow, but it was hard.
Oh, it's my turn?
It is, ma'am.
Big Wednesday, when surfing was fun and fighting was wholesome.
Mm.
I got Back to the Beach, Annette, and you know who's reunion. Bring your pajamas.
Very good.
And then North Shore was live action human version of Surf's Up.
Yeah,
we talked about.
All right, let's see. For Big Wednesday, I've got Busey Surfs. For Back to the Beach, it smells like the ocean. And North Shore, take look. Because I don't know. Take look. Yeah. Okay. So I've been complaining about this whole time because I've been waiting for this. But Turtle sounds like an idiot. Okay. And like I don't understand why Turtle talks the way he does, but at the very end when he like tries to get Rick to turn around to see that Keanu's there waiting for him, he says, "Take look." And so
I just realized Turtle sounds like someone from Idiocracy.
He does.
Sounds like Dax Shepard in Idiocracy.
He sounds like Turtle
is supposed to be like based on a real guy, and so he went out and he lived with that guy in Hawaii to learn to talk like him.
It's like Turtle came from Arizona and then wanted so hard to sound like a Hawaiian, but he sounds like 10 times more Hawaiian than any of the Hawaiians, right? So
that's the way Turtle talks.
Take look.
Yeah, a little too much.
Take
Turtle's
look.
A lot.
Turtle's a lot. Yeah, I really dig him.
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then which movie's got the best opening credits, John?
Best opening credits. Well, it's the neon look of Back to the Beach.
Oh, Back to the Beach has great opening credits, great music. What do you pick, Katie?
I liked Big Wednesday because it wasn't like that. I liked the instrumental intense.
Symphonic.
With the black and white.
Right.
Yeah.
With the World War II music. Like
that's
the
a
big band.
Thing.
Yeah, it's.
What turned me off from the Big Wednesday opening credits was like the titles were in like college football font. And I wasn't sure I understood that. Anyway, all right. Best titular line, Katie.
When Bear, it's one of Bear's favorite things where he says, it'll be a day so big and strong it'll wipe clean everything that came before it. And it will be on a Wednesday, as all good surfing days are.
Oh, very good.
Okay.
What do you got, John?
One of the punks may have said, you don't belong in the North Shore, Howley. I had a hard time searching for a titular line.
Yeah,
oh, okay, I want to change mine. Because the North Shore, I love when Turtle says, here on the North Shore, we treat friends mo' better.
Oh,
that's a good one.
My brothers and I say that to each other all the time.
Is that why the Hawaiian fast food joint is called Mo Betta's?
Yes.
because of North Shore.
No, because they say that.
Because they say Mobetta all the time.
What Hawaiian fast food joint? You guys have a Mobetta's in Utah or something?
Yeah.
There's a Mobetta's. You have Mobetta's?
Don't have a Mobetta's. We don't have any Hawaiian food out here, which is unfortunate.
It's called Mobetta's, and it's got this great macaroni salad that Katie hates because it has mayonnaise in it.
Mayonnaise is gross.
But yeah.
We've never even been there together.
Katsu pork is good.
Yeah. Katsu chicken is good.
Well,
yeah, the chicken.
So is the Bamboo Hut out of business?
Yeah, for the ninth time, yeah, the Bamboo Hut's gone.
I have a hard time processing that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm not telling you for the ninth time. It went out of business 9 times.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So here we go. My best titular line is Big Wednesday. No one said it. It's just when it comes up on the screen. Big Wednesday. When, you know, when it actually is Big Wednesday time. Yeah, there
when
it is.
It is Big Wednesday.
Yeah. Big
Instead
Wednesday
of the
swell.
West Swell.
Yep. It's not the West Swell. It's the Big Wednesday.
The East Swell.
The East Swell.
East Swell.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they would have found someone's wave pool and they could have had their East Swell. But okay, your favorite technology, Katie?
I like Troy's generator boombox.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, what do you got?
You'd think the sound of the generator would really drown out the sound of the boombox.
He can listen to the music, but when Annette wants to talk to him, he has to turn off the generator to hear.
Yeah, you can tell the men from the boys by the price of their toys. So, all right, John.
Okay, best technology. I would say Matt's bad leg thing brace that he used to get out of Vietnam.
The Forrest Gump brace?
The Forrest Gump brace that also it was perfectly mounted so that he would get when you hit it with the hammer, it would get that goose egg on the leg too.
I think he permanently injured himself while wearing that brace in order to get out of Vietnam.
Right, well, he gets hit by the crowbar to get out of Vietnam, and then Katie, right, you pointed it out, when he's surfing at the end and he breaks his board, he gets injured in his Vietnam injury leg.
There's your justice. Okay, let's see. So for me, Katie, did you already do your technology?
Yeah, the generators.
Yeah, generator. That's right. Okay, so I chose the pick-me-up drink from Back to the Beach that Michael makes for Frankie. Seems to work pretty well.
Oh, I almost picked that for food. Yeah,
I did choose that for food. It was my backup for food. It was the cola and the Folgers crystals and the pills.
The Alka-Seltzer.
And the Alka-Seltzer.
Keith Richards lives on this.
Keith Richards lives on these.
All right, John, your favorite name.
Name. There it is. Oh, well, Leroy the Masochist. Leroy.
Yeah,
that's what I picked too. Is that you, Katie?
Yeah. I like he has a shirt that says Masochist on the back.
Yeah.
That he wears. I like that he introduces himself as Leroy the Masochist.
Leroy
the Masochist. I'll do anything.
He'll shoot you in the head just to see what happens when the bullet hits, apparently. So, all right. So the thing is he's saying that to the recruiter, but I also believe it. I believe everything he says. So, food, what's your not honorable mention, Katie?
I put the spaghetti that's on Matt's chest.
that was my honorable mention.
That's pretty hot.
Right. The raw burger and spaghetti.
Yeah. Well, John,
how he just says, I think I'll throw my food on you. And then.
I have Busey himself being basted in the oven.
Oh, that's a great one. That's it.
Oh, man. So I put chunky peanut butter. It's a nice change of pace.
There wasn't that much food in any of these movies.
No.
I had a hard time.
All right, best outfit. Go, John.
Well, it's one of Annette's outfits, and I would say I think when they just kind of – their first kind of beach party where she's wearing the pink fluffy nightie. It's like a fluffy pink nightie, yeah.
The pajama party?
Yeah, I guess it's the first pajama party.
I liked Chandler's costume at the Halloween party, the shark victim.
Oh, yeah.
We had that big –
Okay.
But so. I also had a runner-up for a well, of Annette's outfits, which were many. My favorite was her like 100% coverage one-piece swimsuit that she surfs with Troy on with.
Does that go to her ankles?
Then, like, yeah. And then it has a little skirt, and then he's wearing like 100% gold swimsuit with. But then I also had a runner-up of Rick's clothes, his original clothes that he wears for like a month straight. When he gets his bag stolen, he wears these like blue shorts and yellow tank top that he wears every day for like a month.
That's pretty good.
Well, at least they keep it real.
Annette's pink fluffy nightie was when they find out that they're going on vacation, so she's still wearing it in Ohio. That's just what she wears leisurely in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay, so let's see. I have a couple honorable mentions. I've got the hair helmet for Bobby. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, when Bobby changes to his dad's style and he's looking pretty good. So next honorable mention is really anything that Troy wears, but I'll point out his surfing wetsuit that's all gold. That's pretty great. But then I'm going to go with the yellow polka dot bikini dress. Would you even call it a bikini? The yellow polka dot swimsuit dress of Annette's. That one's great. It's identical to the others. This one happens to be yellow. And all right. John, best alien.
I'm going to have to go with Pee-wee Herman. Kind of an alien to the movie, right? I mean, when I think beach, I don't really think Pee-wee Herman. So that's kind of weird that he's there.
Yeah, a little bit. What do you think, Katie?
I also put Pee-wee Herman with a shout-out to the professor who plays Pee-wee Herman's genie on Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse.
Ooh, okay. So I picked Pee-wee, but it's because I – like, doesn't he – he surfs back to space. I think he's going back to space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I chose him because yeah.
– Right. He goes back to Poochie's planet. Like, my planet needs me. And so Pee-wee Herman surfed away. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so what's the best special effects, Katie?
The green screen for the big kahunas, Cowabunga from Down Under. Oh,
yes, it is. Yes, it is. That I mean, that's a heck of a surf that he does.
I mean, how do they get the people getting the autograph, and how does he golf? That's amazing.
I don't know.
It looks so real.
Yeah. John, what's your pick?
Shaving? That's amazing.
Yeah.
My special effects is just so much wind blowing on Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay. All right. Best location, John.
Did you pick your FX?
Yeah, it was the surfing the Humunga Cowabunga from down under green screen.
Oh, okay. My best location, well, it's in the North Shore of Hawaii.
Oh, very good. What about you, Katie?
Yeah, I liked specifically Chandler's house. Okay. Oh, it has that balcony and shred on the beach. Seems pretty nice.
So I went.
Oh yeah, it's kind of funny where he's like, "Oh, do you want to just live here all your life?" It's like, "Yeah, I want to live in that shack on the North Shore my whole life. What is wrong with that? That would be amazing."
Yeah. Well, I went with Daddy O's the club in Back to the Beach. So there you go. All right, what's your favorite song then, Katie?
I liked Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow by the Shirelles. Ooh. It's the song at the end of the party at Jack's house. I like that they have this like crazy rager party and this huge fight, and then they end with like slow dancing. like, did they really do that? Did they have house parties and slow dance? And that's the song that they danced to, and I love it.
I love that scene as they're slow dancing, and then the bear is just looking on like in his silent, drunken approval.
Yeah, and it's like
party on, kids.
Jack is dancing with his girlfriend. Matt is like puking with Peggy, and then Leroy's dancing with two girls at the same time.
John, what's your favorite song?
Okay, honorable mention to. I just want to shout out to the Fishbone song because it's actually not that great a song.
It's not.
But I will say that "Sunless Saturday" by Fishbone is one of my favorite songs, and it sounds way, way different. But I'm going to go with Blue Hotel by Chris Isaak. I think he's got good beach vibes.
Oh, so I honorable mentioned Pipeline by Dick Dale and Stevie Ray Vaughan. But I'm going to go with The California Sun, sung by Connie and Frankie. So
that was fun.
Yeah. Okay, fun. Yeah.
I wanted to honorable mention Wipeout in... Is it North Shore? And they all get up, and then everybody goes out to surf, and they play Wipeout, and it just shows like 5 minutes of people wiping out. That's when John said, I can see why you're afraid to surf.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right then, Katie, who's your favorite guest star?
I put Lance Burkhart as Lance Laird Hamilton because he's not an actor; he's a surfer. So that was a good guest.
Good. He's good at acting like a jerk.
With a shout out to the Cleavers in North Shore or in Back to the Beach.
Yeah.
The Cleavers who are playing themselves, not the Cleavers.
This didn't make any of my awards, but I just have to kind of a shout out to Barbara Billingsley saying, the joke gets so tired by the end of Back to the Beach where she says, "And now the big potato," which is like so far away from Big Kahuna. It's a joke.
Yeah, then she calls him the big crapola.
Yeah.
It just gets further and further away from, and I think the joke is funny because they say it so many times, and it's just like none of them even come close to rhyming or anything.
Well, John, who's your favorite guest?
Favorite guest? Well, they're in the airport, they're in LA, and Bobby, I think, is so excited to see a celebrity. And oh my gosh, his hopes are just, he just gets so excited because they meet a celebrity, and it's O.J. Simpson.
It's O.J.
So that's my guest. Yeah.
This is at least 4 years before he, 4 or 5 years before he allegedly murdered his wife, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
That references a commercial.
Yeah, the Hertz
rent-a-car commercial.
Hertz rent-a-car.
Yeah. Yeah, he does not make the hurdle. O.J. Simpson crashes pretty hard.
All right. So I'm just glad that the Dance Machine was able to release Nia Peoples for this film, so she's my guest star. So. All right, external recurring character, John.
Okay. This is so great. I didn't realize
this. Are we going to talk about how many there are?
There's a lot.
There are a lot, and I didn't do research. I'm sure there's one. Like, once I noticed that this was, I'm like, oh, I'm picking this one. There might be a better one than this, but this one's just so crazy to me. But it's Jerry Lopez, the surfer Jerry Lopez, who plays Subutai in Conan the Barbarian.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's like sidekicks. He's the surfer Jerry Lopez.
Oh my goodness!
Which makes sense because Milius also directed Conan the Barbarian. Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, what do you got, Katie?
My favorite is Bobby because Bobby is the paperboy from Better Off Dead.
Oh my goodness! Holy cow! I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea. Gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Watched it, yeah.
But I have a whole bunch of others.
So there's a lot. So I'll give mine, and then we can just pile on. Honorable mention, the song I Hate You was originally recorded for Star Trek IV.
Hmm. Oh, yes, of course, yeah. Okay, yeah, because it was written by, like, a producer. It's like, hey, producer, you were in a punk band 10 years ago. Write a song that would be in Star Trek IV. And so they used it in Star Trek IV, but then it got more money off Back to the Beach, apparently.
So my big one, though, is Rick, played by Matt Adler, who was Dumas in Dream a Little Dream.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember the character of Dumas. Which one was that? Was he just one of, like, Joel's friends in Dream a Little Dream?
I guess. I don't know. But there's a ton, right?
There's so much PTSD associated with that, so we kind of forgot a lot of.
So do you want to take turns listening to the other ones?
Yeah, I'll just start with Ator, the Fighting Eagle.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
That's not who that is.
Jan Michael Vincent is not Ator the Fighting Eagle. You got Jan Michael Vincent mixed up with Miles O'Keefe.
Oh, then where am I thinking? Who's Jan Michael Vincent?
You're going to be excited about this one. He's a little someone called Nanu, the world's greatest athlete.
Holy cow, he's not – why did I think he – okay. Well, that's fantastic. Well, that's still good. Okay, so who else? Who else have you guys got?
There's Gary Busey, who's –
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly.
Yes.
And then you know about Chandler, who Chandler is?
this one blew my mind because I didn't realize this. If Chandler's, I didn't get it, then you won't get it.
I waited the whole movie thinking John would recognize him, but he didn't. Chandler is the main guy from Razorback.
Oh my goodness.
I was so ashamed because I apparently loved Razorback, but no, I did not recognize Chandler at all.
I loved this because when I told you guys I was watching Choosing North Shore, you asked who was in it, and I was like, nobody famous. And then I looked, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a Dream My Little Dream person in it, and Razorback. So.
You should stand by the nobody famous.
I got two more. There's O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Because you watched the O.J. Simpson movie.
Oh, of course we did. Yeah, that's right.
And this one's a small part, but I have, since I listened to your podcast so much, I have this theory that 9 out of 10 podcasts, you guys somehow talk about Rocky.
Mm-hmm. It's not a theory.
We haven't talked about Rocky yet. So in Big Wednesday, when they go to the diner and the lady who's cooking, do you know who I'm talking about? The lady running the diner?
Yeah.
She is the nurse in Rocky II who brings in the baby.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew that. Well, I looked it up, but when I looked it up and I was like, oh, I knew that because when I saw Rocky II, and I was like, hey, that's the lady from Big Wednesday. Because I know Big Wednesday so well. So there's your Rocky reference.
Yay. Wow, that's pretty great. Okay, now we got to go to internal recurring character, and I'm just going to say Jerry Lopez. I'm done. So, Katie, who's your internal recurring character?
You chose that one, so I'm going to go with strip club fights.
There are strip club fights in multiple movies. That's true. John, what do you got?
I went with the song The Locomotion.
Oh, is that in
two movies?
What are the movies?
Yeah, it was in Big Wednesday and Back to the Beach. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, cool. Okay. Raise that back. Okay, I can't get over that. Okay, so
there are a lot of internal recurring. According to IMDb, that there are several. There are like five musicians who were in both Big Wednesday and Back to the Beach. Yeah.
All right, John. What's the best death of these films?
Okay, so in North Shore, Keani was she was doing a video shoot with Burkhart, and the video director was just like, hey, come back here, you know. Hey, you can't just leave the set, Keani. And then he calls her. He's like, oh, get that bitch back here. He says that. I'm just quoting him. And then Vince and all the hooies, like, come up, and then they surround the director.
Hooey, not the hooies.
The hooey. Vince and you know, yeah, and hooey, and the hooey organization, the organization of hooey, they surround the director, and then it cuts to the next scene. But, yeah.
He's dead. He's dead.
They pummeled the director to death, yeah, because of Keanu.
Okay, very good. What about you, Katie?
I went with when they go down to Mexico, and Matt is running, and he stumbles upon that dead body.
Oh.
And he looks up, and there's like a Mexican prostitute just smoking a cigarette on her balcony. Like, she pushed him off.
Wow, that's really good.
And she's just like, looks away like, what? I killed that guy. That's awesome.
You guys have good ones. I just used the only one I could think of, and that's Waxer, who died in the Big Wednesday.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see it, but what can you do? So let's see. Who's the best villain in these films? Katie.
I went with Vietnam War.
Crappy Vietnam War. That's the worst war.
All the villains I could think of turned out to be good guys in the end, somehow.
Yeah. What about you, John?
All right. I went with Frankie Annette's douchiest of all douche sons, Bobby. I hated him so bad.
I love Bobby. Okay, well, mine's Lance Burkhart.
Everybody, he's just saying, oh, man. He just sarcastically saying, oh, a genius would do that.
To remind you of you when you were young?
Yeah, John.
I was no saint, but...
I think the worst one was like, I believe we is the plural form. Would you like me to conjugate that, Pop? Do you know what conjugate means, Pop?
I thought this would be an unanimous... act of villainy, choosing, well, yeah, like an unanimous, yeah, unanimous villain award for all. I'm surprised. Am I the only one who picked Bobby for the villain?
You are.
He was the villain.
Well, he probably spent like what, maybe 20,000 plus on his dad's credit card. All those ATVs, right? Anyway, so I just picked Lance Burkhart. What a jerk.
Mm.
Although he looked really good in that, like, the paint and at the beginning. That was fun. But
I see someone once dress up as that for Halloween, and I was like, are you Lance Burkhart? It's awesome. Oh,
yeah. What's the name? That's a villain's name, Lance Burkhart.
Yeah, that's great. It's
like Lance Darkheart, almost. Katie, did you pick a villain?
Yeah, the Vietnam War.
That's right, the Vietnam War. Okay. So my hero is Troy, and I'm assuming that you all picked Troy, so we can move on to best movie goof.
Sorry, I didn't pick Troy.
What?
Troy, I wish I'd written it down. At one point in my notes, I wrote, Troy just made a sexist, fat-shaming, and racist joke all in a row.
Yes, he did.
I couldn't remember the specifics.
That's a hero.
That's a hero.
It's a hero we need.
Yeah. Well, then who's your hero, Katie?
I chose Turtle because if he hadn't picked up Rick and taken him back to Chandler's house,
he would have been toast. Turtle's a good guy. Yeah. His time's going to come. All right, John, who's your hero?
I went with Vince in North Shore also, you know, because he got Rick's buckle back and he needed that buckle.
And he killed that that advertiser.
And he killed the video director.
The video director, yeah, killed him. Yeah. Okay. All right. Best movie goof. What do you got, John?
Okay. So, I don't know if you guys are going to count this or not, but on the DVD, there's an alternate ending for North Shore, and in the alternate ending, Rick says goodbye to Keanu, and it's played by a different person. A different person played in the alternate ending. It is not Nia Peebles.
That's funny.
Apparently, and we researched this, it's actually the whole movie is a goof because the alternate ending was like one of the first things they filmed or something, and they filmed all of the movie with this other actor, not Nia Peebles, but then they didn't like her, and so they reshot all of those scenes with Nia Peebles at the end. Jeez. And so, yeah, the alternate ending is the original Keanu.
Hmm. Well, all right, Katie, what's your best movie goof?
I didn't really have one. It always bothers me that she picks up Rick from getting his back drilled into the reef. And she rides behind him on the horse with like a white tank top on. Oh, but there's no blood. And then he never has any scars or scabs or anything. Well,
that would have been amazing if she gets off the horse and
she should be covered in blood.
Or like her shirt rips off because it's stuck to him.
Yeah.
Like, Katie, if you don't want to count that, you could always count the time when Turtle is driving and it cuts to Rick and the scenery is going backwards.
There's a point that Turtle does a U-turn and John like rewatched that scene like at least 19 times. It was like, look, the scenery is going backwards and he's doing a U-turn and we had this big argument about it.
Okay, so here's mine.
I think it's going backwards.
And this one bothers me, and it also makes me sound really crummy. But anyway, Rick goes to Hawaii during the summer to surf the North Shore. But during the summer, the waves on the North Shore are non-existent. It's glass. It's only during the winter that the North Shore has any waves.
Oh, that's where his summer vacation comes in, right?
It's a problem.
Well, I guess it helps that he's 3 feet tall.
Yeah, well, so yeah, during the summer, the North Shore has some really great snorkeling spots, but during the winter, those snorkeling spots are boiling cauldrons of doom. So yeah, he's there during the wrong time of year. Now
maybe
he could have
maybe
he's Australian. I don't know. He could have surfed the Honolulu side if he'd wanted, but that's crappy surfing. Anyway, he's it's the wrong time of year. So the funniest moment, John, what's the funniest moment?
Okay, the funniest moment is in Back to the Beach when they go to the surf bar or something, and there's the band playing, and on the marquee outside it says, you know, now playing at least two Deltones. So they couldn't get all the Deltones, but the marquee actually says at least two.
At least two Deltones. How about you, Katie?
I went with all the parts of Leroy getting out of the draft. Like, I love when he's sitting there and they give him a form and he eats it.
Oh yeah.
And then there at the end they're taking him out in the straight jacket into the ambulance, and they all just watch him, and they're like, who knows, maybe he's cuckoo. And he's just screaming.
So I feel guilty because this is child abuse, but I picked when Frank is knocking down Sandy's door with Bobby's head.
I had that under a what WTH moment.
Well, there you go. Here's it. So what do you got for your what the heck moment?
Well, you chose that Bobby's head as a battering ram. So I'm going to go with at the very beginning, the very intro of Back to the Beach, when Bobby is painting graffiti inside his living room and smoking at breakfast.
All right, what
and
do
his
you got?
Mom's just like, oh, Bobby.
What do you got, John?
Okay. I kind of mentioned this before, but it's Pee-wee warping to his home planet.
Zach just has nothing to do with anything, does it? It's just like...
No, yeah. Like,
and it's in. Okay, so...
It's like the ultimate Pee-wee moment of the 80s. It's like, yeah, Pee-wee Herman is going to be in a movie he doesn't belong in, and also, at the end, he's going to leave the movie in a way that makes no sense. It's like the ultimate Pee-wee kind of... It's the Pee-wee vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
The Pee-wee invasion of the movie.
So I have as an honorable mention that there's a moment in the North Shore when Nia Peoples voluntarily kisses Rick, and it like took me totally by surprise. But I think the one I decided to go with was the flying jump kick at the surfer party in Big Wednesday. That was pretty awesome.
That's good.
All right, your favorite quote. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say an honorable mention for when they have that party at the end. And they're trying to distract the who's the get smart guy? He's the harbor master.
Don Adams.
Yeah, Don Adams.
Yeah, so they distract him by handing him this like girl who sounds like she's asking to be raped. She's like, yes. Yeah. She's like, take me somewhere, but not too far that people won't hear me when I'm screaming for help. And he's like, okay, let's go.
That was the most surprising line in Back to the Beach. Like, oh my gosh, really?
All right. Okay. So let's see. How about your favorite quote, Katie?
I love anything the bear says. So I like, when he says, that's when you need a friend, when you're wrong, when you're right, you don't need anything. You don't need nothing.
Yeah. That's good.
And then I like at the end when he's crazy and he just says, that's just the lemon next to the pie.
All right, John, what you
got? I had one more honorable mention.
Yeah, go for it.
It's in Back to the Beach when watching it as an adult, there's a lot of like references to Annette Funicello's boobs, yeah. Which I thought was funny. But he's having a conversation with Michael, and he lives with his daughter, and he's like, you're probably sleeping together. And he's like, come on, you slept with your mom. Her mom before you got married. And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, I saw her yesterday and you must have tried.
Yeah.
Which I think is a weird thing to say about an old lady.
Especially to your possible future father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So John, did you do your quote already? You did, right?
No, I didn't. But I want to mention, speaking of Annette's boobs, when the flight attendant sees her on the plane,
yeah,
she's like,
that's another
one. Oh my gosh, that's Annette. Oh, she's like, that hair, that smile, those ... is how she recognized Annette.
She does this thing with her hands, like those.
Those. honorable mention also with the Troy line, I think Annette asks him, so do you surf? And he goes, do I surf? And it reminds me of, Roy, you're the only other person in the world who I'd mention this to, but it reminds me of Eben Ozen. Hey, do you want to go out? Do I want to go out?
So I was feeling all cavalier. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Okay, but the line is actually also by Troy, and it's just the quick line where he goes, I dig chicks and chicks dig me digging them. Dig.
That's a great line. All right, Katie, what do you got?
I already gave mine.
Okay. So apparently, like, I've got, like, short-term memory of, like, a 99-year-old man. So anyway, there you go. So, John, what's your favorite quote? Moving on. Okay. So my honorable mention is from the masochist, and he says, Mexico, surfboards, guns. That's pretty good. But from Back to the Beach, I'm going to go with Frankie saying, the years have hardened me, Annette. And then Bobby chimes in with, they've certainly hardened your hair. So that's a good one.
I like right after John was talking about the flight attendant, and she's like, it must be wonderful to be you. And she's like, why, yes, it is.
So I thought, like, the same thing, but, like, I mean, not that I necessarily want to be Annette, but it seems like it'd be lovely having Annette be your mother, but maybe it'd be awful, but it seems like it'd be lovely. All right. Your favorite scene, John?
The party in Big Wednesday. With the enforcer and the punching and the slow dancing and the windows knocked out during the slow dancing.
Mm. Yeah, it's great.
What about you, Katie? Your favorite scene?
It was up between that same one, but my favorite scene is going to be Bobby choosing his gang name. That's
Surly.
Easily my favorite scene of all of these, where he's like, call me by my gang name, Surly. And they're like, Shirley? Bobby's a tougher name than Shirley. He's like, no. I'm changing my gang name. It's going to be Knife. Like, Knife? You want us to call you Nice? And he goes, it's not nice. But yeah, anytime someone says Nice, that's probably one of my most quoted movie lines, where I say, Nice? He wants to call you Nice? Nobody ever gets it.
That's wonderful. All right. Well, I went with the party crasher scene in Big Wednesday. That's pretty darn good.
Yep.
All right, then, Katie, who's the best actor of these films?
I went with Bear, whoever plays Bear. Okay, Bear. Yeah, I like it because his like character is so many. So at the beginning, he's this like wise sage board maker. And then in the middle, he has to play this like know-it-all hotshot guy. And then at the end, he's the crazy homeless drunk guy.
Shopping
and he plays them all really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. What do you think, John?
I'm going with David Bowie, not David Bowie, David Bowie in Back to the Beach. He's just he's the most surfery guy in Back to the Beach. He's like, hey, gonna hit the waves, what? He's that guy?
Is he Mountain?
Okay, it's probably Mountain. Yeah, his name is Mountain in Back to the Beach. And I only gave him Best Actor because I'm used to him playing his friend Bob in UHF. He's the best friend in UHF.
Look at that.
Yeah. Who's like, you know, when you know, he's just the subdued straight man in UHF, and so the opposite of this surfer dude. But you know, like when Weird Al says, just take this lead pipe and just bash my head in. It's like, you know, I can't do that. You still owe me $10, that guy.
He's also in The Rock and the Cable Guy. So he's been around.
Yes. Yes, he's around.
Okay, so I think I'm just going to give my best actor to Gary Busey, although it feels like he's not acting. So I'm like the...
If it feels like he's not acting, then he gets the award.
There you go. All right.
I think it comes out at... I said his best acting is at the very beginning when he's trying to get that surfboard.
Yeah.
And he grabs the guy and he just like shakes him like crazy, and then he's instantly super polite. Like, we'd like to take your board.
He just shakes him up really bad. Yeah.
All right. Unanswered questions. I've got one, and maybe Katie can help me here. How do surfers afford to surf? Because it seems like an expensive sport, and every surfer I've ever seen in any surfing movie doesn't have a job. So how do surfers afford?
I was thinking about this. I mean, because once upon a time, we had a kind of expensive habit of skiing. But like, because the passes are so expensive. But The ocean is free, so once you get the really nice board, you can stay there. You just have to worry about what to eat, I guess.
There you go. Now, does most good surfing happen in the morning? So does it allow for an afternoon job sort of situation?
Yeah, there's like afternoon swells, though. And there's yoga surfing in the evenings.
With you, and you can't work while you're surfing. You can't work while there's a good swell.
When's the best time to wash windshields in intersections?
Yeah. Is that the surfer job? Washing windshields?
Yeah. I think that's what they do. They just do like high school type jobs, you know, sandwich shops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Surfer, like a waxer, and he works for Bear.
Yeah.
That's what I get for hiring surfer labor. They're always leaving.
All right. What about you? You guys have any unanswered questions?
When Rick goes away for the summer to Hawaii, what's his mom doing all summer?
She's tossing her hair, apparently, John, and taking off her glasses.
So into his mom.
I just wanted to make sure that we knew that she was dressed up as someone who takes off her glasses and tosses her hair.
Okay. What about you, Katie? You got any unanswered questions?
I had two. So when Rick first gets to Hawaii and they go to Lance Burkhart's house, then he runs outside and like jumps in the ocean. And it reminded me of that guy that I saw see the ocean for the first time. So I'm wondering if that's the first time Rick has seen the ocean.
100% it is. That is 100% the first time he has been in the ocean.
Yeah. And then I'm also wondering what happened to Leroy's wife in Mexico.
Yeah, I imagine she stayed in Mexico, right? But that's a real good question.
She couldn't get married again.
Yeah. that'll teach you to marry Gary Busey.
She says something in Spanish when he leaves. I don't speak Spanish. I don't know what she says.
John, you speak Spanish. What'd she say?
I took it in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Can someone phonetically say it to me?
I don't know.
I don't remember what she said.
And also on Big Wednesday, when Jack is going to the Vietnam War and everybody's saying goodbye, Sally like runs out of the room crying. And then the scene closes with him like calling to her and she's not answering. So did she just ditch out without saying goodbye to him before he left?
I think so. And then because like he goes to war and he comes back and she's found someone else, right?
Yeah. No, I think in that scene, yeah, she ditched out because she was experiencing her first kiss with her future husband.
Very good.
She didn't know that Jack was going to come back with a mustache, so she married that other guy with a bigger mustache.
Yes.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have come back with the worst mustache ever.
Yeah, he's like, I heard she likes mustaches, and then he saw her current husband's mustache and was like, forget it, I can't compete with that.
Why even fight it at that point?
Because that thing was huge. I was like,
threw himself into the sea. Yeah.
Okay, so we got some special awards. So who is the surf champ from all three of these films? John.
Well, Burkhart is because he won the Channel Award.
Okay. All right, Katie, who's the surf champ?
I like Jack surfing the best. I think if he wasn't so responsible, he could have been a really good surfer. And I like his when he goes and surfs by himself before he goes to Vietnam. That's my favorite surf scene.
Oh, very good. I picked Matt Johnson because he surfs really well when he's sober and he surfs pretty good when he's drunk. So, all right, best punch. I didn't know how to interpret best punch, so I'm going with the stunned mullet, which is an alcoholic punch beverage from Back to the Beach.
That's a good one. Yeah. I went with it in the Big Wednesday party when the enforcer comes down the stairs and like cranks back and goes.
he starts like up. Dancing like he's in a video game.
Yeah. But he winds up. He winds up and knocks a guy's head off.
All right, Katie, do you have a best punch?
I like what at the party when Matt wanders in eating a slice of watermelon drunk. And he doesn't realize it's full of crashers. And someone punches him through the watermelon. Like, he punches him in the face through the watermelon.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Best surf. I don't know what that means. Does it mean the best surfing by a surfer? Or does it mean the best water for surf, so I don't know. But go ahead, Katie.
I thought it was the best movie surfing footage, kind of.
Okay.
What did John send you?
Best surf. He put these in chat like 5 minutes before we started recording. So
can you say one of them was best surf?
I went with the North Shore.
Can we just do best surfer? What are the other ones?
Best punch, best surfer, best surf, best surf.
I don't have best surfer.
And then best surfing guru.
So if we're gonna go, talking best surfer, I'll go with Jerry Lopez, best surfer. There you go.
I put Burkhart as the surfiest surfer.
Yeah, but we already did that one.
Yeah.
The surfer.
Surf champ, right? Best surf champ. There you go. Okay, so there you go. Surf okay. Champ. So then best surf. I don't know. I put the North Shore. That seemed to have the best waves, the best surfing.
I thought Big Wednesday had the best shots of surfers.
Like the best surfing. Like which of the three movies had the best surfing?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Big Wednesday has the best surfing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially that last scene.
Especially, I really liked, it was really fun to see the what's the term where you walk up and down the surfboard as it's going?
Yeah.
We kind of talked about it a little bit. It's that's something I don't usually see. Like the hot dog stuff is like really cool for a few seconds, but it looked like you could just like travel from island to island walking up and down the surfboard the way they were doing it.
All right. So best surfer girlfriend, I originally had Asthmatic Bridget, but I'm going to change that to Peggy Gordon from Big Wednesday.
I did Keani because you don't even need to be a surfer to have her be your girlfriend. Yeah. I think she has really low expectations.
You don't need to have been in the ocean before. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need to have been in the ocean. So that's great.
I went with Peggy. I think she's awesome.
Yay, like, Peggy.
Yeah. You can get her pregnant. She doesn't care. You can be drunk. She doesn't care.
All right.
Yeah.
Supportive.
Also, I don't know. She doesn't care a little too much because she was pretty drunk when she was pregnant.
Yeah, but she like sticks by him. They have a little house. Mm. She's so nice.
All right. Best surf.
She doesn't wear a padded bra.
Doesn't have to wear a padded bra. Best surf guru. So, I mean, who are our choices here? This feels like a battle royale kind of thing. Chandler versus Bear versus, I don't know.
Turtle.
Turtle, I guess.
The two Australians that picked up Rick.
There's Michael. There's like the surfboard makers.
Yeah.
They each have surfboard.
Well, I picked carvers. Chandler. What would you guys pick?
Bear. Yeah.
All right, I feel like if you follow Bear... You're going to follow Bear into the shopping cart.
Well, he has that whole thing. Like, you stick by your friends, and he does that to the end.
Well, very
good. I should have picked that as my favorite line. I think that's great. Like, when things are going good, you don't need anything. You don't need friends when things are going good. Like, may as well not have friends when things are going good. But, yeah, okay. You need friends when things are going bad.
All right. Well, now we got to pick the Katiest. For the Katie's character, I just went with Rick, because I feel like you still might have your chance. You're from Arizona, and there's still a part of you that's like, I could do it. I just need a good wave pool to get things started. So you're Rick. John, who's the Katie's character?
I'm going to pick Connie because she's really fun, and Connie sounds like Katie.
Oh, that's true. They're very similar. So, Katie, inspire us. Who's the Katie's character?
I would say Jack.
I thought you'd say Jack.
Because
you're the man.
You're reliable.
A little bit too responsible to have a good time.
You love Vietnam.
I guess that's one way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
I like being around the people having a good time, but I'm too responsible.
Yeah. So, the Katie's scene. I went with the Big Wednesday from Big Wednesday.
Oh, me too. Well, I picked Matt crashing at the end of Big Wednesday. Because Katie always talks about crashing on surfboards.
Mm. All right, Katie, well, what do you think is the Katie scene?
Maybe at the diner when they have the food fight.
Oh, that's fun.
I like when Gary Busey's like,
I think I'll throw my food on you. And he just does it. And I got that from that movie. And I used to do stuff like that to my niece where I'd be like, I think I'm going to push you over. I think I'm going to push you.
What a fun aunt you were. So,
yeah. Is this, are you talking about Kirsten?
Yeah, I told John about it and he said it was abuse.
Yeah. Kirsten's nice. She puts up with all the crazy aunt things you do.
Yeah. Okay. But that's where I got that. I got that from Gary Busey.
So Katie,
which probably proves that it is abuse.
Yeah. Okay, you got to keep this one to yourself, but now we're going to decide what the Katie's movie is. And I'm just going Big Wednesday. John, what's the Katie's movie?
I'm going to say Big Wednesday. Don't answer, Katie.
Okay. All right, Katie, it's time to rank these three movies. Let's start with your third favorite.
Back to the Beach.
Okay, John, what's your third favorite?
North Shore.
Fascinating. Okay, my third favorite is North Shore. My second favorite is Back to the Beach. Coming back to John.
Back to the Beach.
North Shore.
And then are we all in accord? We've all got Big Wednesday? Yay, Big Wednesday.
Big Wednesday. Oh, Big Wednesday. My day.
Big Wednesday felt, I am it going felt like to an
watch,
important movie.
Watch this movie. Yeah, I'm going to watch it every Wednesday.
Well, that's some serious commitment. So good.
Yeah, it's good. I liked it a lot. At first, I was kind of like, I don't know, William Catt, I don't know about this guy. Well, but Busey really saved the day, and you know, and Jan Michael Vincent, you know, he sobered up, and there was Vietnam, and Freddy Krueger shows up, and I don't know. It's a lovely coming of age tale.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. And I want to say thank you, Katie. You helped me double the number of surfing movies that I've now seen. So there you go. Went from two to four, and I am including Surf's Up, the Penguin movie. So there you go. Now we do have some business. We got some business. So let me go ahead and go to the old Facebook page, and I got to do a little refreshing here. Because the next movies that we are watching with Katie, that Katie has to watch and talk about with us, are Cassandra Conundrum Films. Ammon came up with this category, and this is, there's someone who warns of dire consequences and they get ignored. And the fans have voted, and I could almost say John picked, but fair is fair. The fans voted, and we'll be watching Ghostbusters.
Okay, now, but to be fair, if I didn't vote, then it would have been a tie between Ghostbusters and Alien. And what happens in a tie?
Katie picks.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think Ghostbusters is a lock, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
I didn't want to watch Alien, but I guess I could have had John vote for Jurassic Park, and then it would have been a three-way tie, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have had to be something.
I would have chosen Jurassic Park over Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in the lack of love for the Fantastic World of DC Collins, which would have been free on YouTube. As someone probably videotaped their VHS viewing. Okay, so Ghostbusters it is, and that means, Katie, you pick a movie.
I have to pick before you pick?
You do have to pick before I pick.
I am going to go with The Towering Inferno.
Whoa.
Oh, what a good pick. Now, was that a Heston
film? It was hard to find a movie that I hadn't seen that I knew would have a warning. I had to do a lot of stupid research.
Who's in The Towering Inferno? That's not Heston, is it?
Everybody. No, there's Paul Newman and Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen is.
There we go.
Faye Dunaway, I think.
What's her name? Shirley Winters? Shelley Winters is in it? I know that.
Oh, man, that's good.
I think. Or maybe that I'm thinking of the Poseidon Adventure. Shoot.
Poseidon Adventure's got the Borgnine, sweet Ernest Borgnine.
Right.
Which is great.
I think it has O.J. Simpson in it.
Oh, yes.
Towering Inferno does?
Yeah.
Wow.
Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, and let's see. Come on, IMDb. Gosh, why does it take so long to bring it up? Steve McQueen, William Holden, Fred Astaire is in it.
William Holden, jeez, wow.
Richard Chamberlain, Robert Vaughn, O.J. Simpson, Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner!
It's the most 80s thing ever.
Yes, it is.
Married to Robert Wagner, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this really quickly, because in Ghostbusters, the warning is given by the Ghostbusters to, what, Walter Peck? Is that his name?
Yeah.
And so when we watch these movies, yeah. I want to talk about, like, if the warning had been heeded, what do we think would happen? That's what I want to discuss that. And then, do you know who gives the warning? Is there, like, a fire chief who warns them that they're violating codes or something?
Yeah, from what I can tell, it's like they warn about the electrical system, and then I think the fire alarm goes off, and they ignore that. And
okay. They ignore the fire alarms? Like, it's just a
yeah, because it doesn't trigger the sprinkler system, so they're like, oh, it's a false alarm.
Oh.
But okay. Yeah, there's warnings from the builders.
So. Okay. Now, so for my pick, because I wasn't sure what you were going to do, Katie. So my runner-up was going to be Jaws, but now it sounds like maybe you would have boycotted that.
Yeah, I'm really anti-Jaws.
I'm not in favor of sharks eating people. Yeah.
Because you're a marine biologist and you love sharks?
Well, because I'm not afraid of sharks, and so I'm totally fine swimming in the ocean. And I know they're there, but... I watch Jaws, it might trigger something.
So when I was with my wife in Hawaii, we used to go snorkeling at a place called Electric Beach. Loved it. But two of the times that we were there, we saw some white-tipped sharks, which was cool because I knew they were harmless. But these were like 4 or 5 foot sharks, and we were just like swimming. And they were right there, and it was so cool. And my wife hated it, and I loved it. But anyway.
Yeah. I snorkeled in Hawaii, and we saw like, yeah, a shark bigger than me. And they were like, if you look over here, you'll see a shark. And I was like, I'm glad you said that before I saw it. But, yeah.
Okay, so the movie I did pick is Earth is under attack. They don't know they're under attack. Do you know who's trying to warn them that they're under attack? Hans Zarkov.
And so you're not doing
and
this.
So we're going to watch Flash Gordon.
Okay. All right.
And so I thought John's either going to love this or hate this. I think you fear this.
I fear it, yeah.
You fear it. I think this is like Blade Runner. I think you fear it a little bit, but it's about time that we ripped off this Band-Aid and we watched Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I guess we're 5 years in. We're to the half-10 anniversary, and we have to watch Flash Gordon. Okay.
What were some other ones that you almost chose?
So I would have loved Alien, but I also really would have enjoyed watching the original Superman. Although I don't know that there's that much to talk about. I mean, because the warning is Jor-El telling them that Krypton is going to blow up, and then it does in the first 5 minutes, and then like, who cares from that point on, right? So I don't know. Let's see. But I mean, it was going to be Flash Gordon from the beginning. That was going to be my pick.
Really? Wow.
Don't Look Up. I think I haven't seen it, but it looks interesting.
That was on my list.
I was gonna if I had a pick, I would have picked that. I don't think it's I think it kind of doesn't look that good, but I think it would be fun to watch a new one. Yeah.
Creed 2. I would have been down for watching Creed 2 when Rocky Balboa tries to tell Adonis to not fight against not Ivan. What's Drago's name in Creed 2?
I think it's Drago. Still.
No, whatever his first name is. Whatever. Drago's kid, right?
I don't know his first name.
So that would have been interesting, but I mean, unless... Because I assume, Katie, that you knew that Flash Gordon is one of John's very favorite movies, and I thought maybe she'll pick that. So yeah, I had Jaws. Jaws was in my back pocket. Never seen it. Oh, it's really good. Anyway, that's it, folks. We're watching Ghostbusters.
I had Look Up on mine.
You Look Up?
Yeah. I almost chose Titanic because I know John hasn't seen it.
Are you serious, John?
Yeah, I never got around to seeing Titanic. It was, the Titanic fever was just barely coming down. People weren't going to see it every week by the time I got back into the country in 1998.
I think I saw it twice.
And they warned them not to go so far north on their route.
Yeah.
I almost chose West Side Story.
Ooh.
Ooh. Would that have been a go watch it in the movie theater kind of situation?
Yeah.
Are we talking the original or the new one?
My friend's kids. Yeah, the new one. My friend's kids tried to get me to choose King Kong versus Godzilla from 1962.
Oh, wow.
And then I really wanted to choose the new Jackass movie, but it doesn't come out till February 4th.
That would have been great. Yeah.
If I hadn't really chosen North Shore, I was going to choose it for this one.
Oh, what's the...
Because they warn him against dating a hooey girl.
Yeah, or trying to surf in real water.
Or go in the water every single time he goes in the water.
Yeah.
Don't go here. Okay, I'm going to go there. Don't take this wave. Okay, I'm going to take this wave.
Yeah.
Don't date
don't
that
girl. Don't
go to
Hawaii. Yeah, don't dating the girl was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, North Shore, now that I think about it, it's just full of, stick-to-itiveness and self-optimism. I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
I also
everything the world tells me not to do.
I also almost chose Empire Records because I know John hasn't seen that.
Hmm.
I haven't seen that, but the parts I've seen.
I wanted to make you watch it.
So, John, have you seen Towering Inferno?
No, I've seen part of it on TBS, like we all have, when it was used to be on just the afternoons on Saturday.
So when I was doing Netflix and they were sending discs in the mail, I got The Towering Inferno. So I have seen all these films. So
nice.
This is a treat. These are great movies. I'm really happy. Okay, so that's what we're watching. Ghostbusters, The Towering Inferno, Flash Gordon. Hot dang. So moving on. After that, there's no voting for movies because the next category films is our next guest is Eric Kay, who I used to know as Eric Kimmery. So I don't know what happened there, but we're going to get the inside scoop. But we do have to come up with some new categories. And so I will tell you that the random category that has been chosen is TV shows adapted into movies.
Oh, I wanted that to be one of mine.
And this has now been this will be the third time it's been voted on. Does that mean we're going to trigger... Are we going to trigger a Losers Club? Do I have enough movies? Yes. If that fails to win, we're going to find ourselves in Losers Club territory. But now I need, John, I need a category from you.
Okay. I'm quickly going to do this because I didn't read your text very carefully. I thought I was picking a movie and not a category. But I have a category in mind now. Let's just go with Body Movin', where it's a body part in the title.
What number is that?
It's number 32.
Okay.
So examples are Funny Face, which you've already done, and Cool Hand Luke. Okay. So Face and Hand. I assume there are other movie titles like Leg of a Sinner.
How about My Left Foot,
Adam's Rib, I guess.
Adam's Rib, My Left Foot, The Brian Piccolo Story.
Band of the Hand, maybe. Jeb's Shoulder, I think, might be a movie.
Jeb's Shoulder.
The Neck of Fear. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right, Katie, what's your category?
Do I choose one off your guys' list?
You can, or you can
do that,
original.
Or you can make
you can
it
do
up.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
I wish I knew this. I'm always telling John different categories you should add.
Yeah, you are. Sorry.
It didn't help me at all.
No.
I'm going to go with this, It's Not Easy Being Green.
Oh.
Non-human protagonists.
Fascinating.
No one's chosen that one.
What number is that guy?
Sounds like a terrible category. 15.
15. Well, there you go.
So, yeah, okay, so we're watching
The Muppets? Homeward Bound.
Movies about dogs.
Movies about dogs that can speak. Okay. So.
Marley and Me, I suppose.
Marley and Me.
Every dog movie, the dog dies. It's terrible.
Maybe Chud? Does Chud count?
Would you call the Chud's not the protagonist. The Chud's the antagonist.
What's the movie with the teddy bear? Ted?
Oh, Ted.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you could do Paddington, I guess, for that matter.
Ted is a great double feature with Flash Gordon because...
What about The
Ted
Incredible
and
Mr. Limpet?
Yeah.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Well, so that's a Manimal movie, right?
Yeah,
that was a big complaint when I listened to the Manimal episode. I'm like, how did you guys not choose Incredible Mr. Limpet?
It's a fine movie.
It was that one and the animation live action You guys skipped it twice.
So this is
my third attempt at getting you to watch it.
I'm wondering if Roy, maybe, okay, in 2022, our big gimmick is watching movies that we haven't watched before when people come on. Maybe in 2023, we have to do, it's like, okay, you have to pick a category that we've definitely done, and want, so we can do Manimal Movies, Incredible Mr. Limiters.
Manimal Movies. Okay. Well, all right. So the future is set. We got some exciting stuff coming up. So if you've listened this long, thank you. Let's start watching some movies. We're going to have a good time. So, Katie, thanks for coming on, and let's just do some of our administrative stuff. First of all, you owe us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. So please go do that, and then, you know, say whatever you want, but it's got to be 5 stars. 5 stars are nothing, okay? And we have a Facebook page, which is where all the magic happens. Just go onto Facebook, search for Yours, Mine, and Theirs, and then you can help determine what category of movies we'll watch, and then you'll get to pick a movie as well. So that's all fun. John, we have a phone number where people can call in and tell us how wonderful our podcast is, and that number is?
The number is 801. Does everybody have that down?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. 801-896-4542. 801-896-4542.
Very good. And then we have a Gmail, yoursmindtheirspodcast@gmail.com. But so far we've only received promotional offers to pay money for our podcast to get 2 or 3 more listeners or something. So anyway, you can email us there. Anything I'm missing, John? We have a wonderful blog, which is where all the podcasts reside. If you want to go there, it's my favorite part, honestly, because I get to see John's tagline and he breaks down the podcast, and there's always a wonderful picture. So that's just yours, mine, theirs, podcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think we said it all. Other than I didn't get to say thank you, Katie. Thank you, Katie. Thanks for giving in to my peer pressure and joining us this time. I hope it was a little bit of fun. And next time, don't worry, you can hold back on how much you dislike the movies next time, because they they will be from like a different category. So looking forward to it next time.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure. Love this podcast. This is my 4th favorite movie podcast, for sure. But the first 3rd was pretty exciting because there was lots of low-key racism as the commentator talked about their experiences in Africa. So that was interesting. So I imagine I don't know what was just said. John and Katie, John, you'll have to edit this out. I can't understand a word. It's like the chipmunks are talking, except I can't understand it. It's like really high pitched and super fast. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what the deal is. And whatever you just said, it's the same thing, so I don't know how to fix this. Can you guys understand me?
Very well.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, okay.